It's Friday!
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. A day early, but anniversary time at the horn. That's right, 15 years. 15 years in this particular incarnation, and something over 18 years total. But, yeah, 15 years. It was 15 years ago tomorrow that this program went live and has been live for just about every Monday through Friday, 3 hours an evening since. There have been a few days away and whatnot, but for the most part, every week has been three hours per evening, either 6 to 9 or 5 to 8 or 7 to 10. Moved around a little bit, but we're here, and I'm damn proud of it. And let me simply say that I thank all of you. You're the ones who deserve most to be proud of it because you made it happen. You know, the for-profit media exists and will exist as long as there is some pharmaceutical to be hustled to some consumer, as long as there's a soap, as long as there's something to sell, the for-profit media will exist, and programs on the for-profit media will exist, because they exist not to provide programming or entertainment or information, but to deliver people who tune into them into the tender mercies of various and sundry manufacturers and sellers of stuff. That is not the case here. And that's what makes things all the more astounding that we've managed to hang on for this long. Because nothing's for sale here. Nobody gets charged anything. And we run entirely on a voluntary contribution basis from a little group of people who are anxious to make sure that this program is available to anyone who wants it. And it's been that way for 15 years, and it simply blows my mind. Hi, I'm Bob. It is the 23rd day of October, 2020. This program premiered in this format 15 years ago on the 24th, but since there's not going to be a program tomorrow, because I'm going to be working with the smoker, well, we'll celebrate it this evening. Thanks very kindly to Jeremy jumping in and being first past the post to get us started this evening. Thank you very kindly. Ralph says, I'll kick in $30 for the anniversary times two if others kick in 30 bucks. So there's a challenge to begin things on the table. The fundraising goal stands at 515 bucks. And we can discuss it more when we get to the Friday on the Front Porch portion of the program. This is Friday on the Front Porch. You know, there's a button there at the top of headon.live if you'd like to be part of the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable conversation that takes place on Fridays in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein Sparky sits in the place of moderating honor. Well, just use the button there, and it'll take you right into the group. Okay, and of course, if for some reason or another you can't handle or manage Skype, the stress line is there for you as well, 844-843-4676, and you're more than welcome to jump in that way. And let's see here, just making sure that everything's working. So thanks go out to our subscribers for this 23rd day of the month. Thank you very kindly. That would be working. Yeah. That would be, thanks very kindly to, to Stacy, to our friends at Mellow Moonlit Meadow. Thank you to Reggie. Thank you to Philip in Maryland. Thank you all very kindly. And thank you to, Stephen, for jumping in. And thank you to, let me see here. Thank you to the 15th online for the 15th online anniversary gift. That was $10 for every year. So taken together, we are down to less than $200 to go to finish finish the evening, and that's magnificent. Thank you, Stephen, and thank you. Thank you. You know who you are. Also, I went to the mailbox today, and so I have thanks to send out to Dennis in Columbus and to Dave in Kentucky Stan. Thank you very kindly to both of you. Thank you very much to Irish Dave out in the desert, out in the desert west. Thank you, Dave. Thank you very, very kindly. And, well, thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. So, here we are. By the way, I had a great note from Dennis in Columbus. Keep doing what you're doing, because all of us out here in untrumped America really appreciate it. Thank you, Dennis, and we appreciate you as well. Thank you all so very much indeed for keeping this all going. So I guess based on that, we can say that, Ralph's challenge was met by Stephen. Thank you very kindly. And we'll see how far we go. As far as, fundraising goes, I thought I would share some notes that I've gotten over the past few weeks. Chris in Germany jumped in after Steve a couple of Fridays back mentioned the idea and the need to increase fundraising. Chris said, I heard Steve from New York suggest we need to increase the monthly donation, and I agree. To that end, I'm increasing the amount of my monthly contribution to $75 starting next month. I hope the community can join in. Being an amateur Uber driver just won't pay the bills. So thank you for your input on that, Chris. Brother Deacon Asa has been telling me for well over a year we need to do this. Randy in PA has shared his feeling along the same lines. A bunch of you have jumped in on this to sort of sound your agreement. And Charlene in Rogues Island has put a $100 challenge on the table. That will get us pretty close to done for the evening, if that is met. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you very kindly. And so going forward, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but starting Monday, I'm going to boost the nightly fundraising goal to $300. And this is not because I'm trying to buy the Gulfstream 5 or the giant spleen-shaped swimming pool. No, not even trying to afford a small, say, kidney stone-shaped pool along with a pool attendant for Agnes. None of that. It's more a reflection that we've been robbing Peter to pay Paul for a long time now and need to crawl out of that if we can. Among other things, I alluded to it briefly last night. There are a lot of things that have been let go here for a long time 8 years in the case of some repairs to the house. We've had some magnificent help replacing some appliances. That has been tremendous. God, it's made such a difference. But I know that one of the things that has been let go, I simply am looking at, I'm looking at a few $1,000s worth of oral surgery in the near future. And as soon as I can, you know, me and Mayella Yule scrape up our nickels, I'll go and get that. So we'll try it. Hopefully we'll get there, and hopefully, you know, we'll build the community and we'll have a little bit more participation rather than just the merry little band who have kept things going here. So again, thank you all for getting us to this 15 year mark. Hopefully doing this will get us out into maybe, who knows, year 20 in 2025. Wow. Wait a minute. That's just too much to contemplate. Let's get Joe Biden in office in 2021, shall we? But that's the plan. That's the plan going forward. It has been a heck of a 15 years. And it's amazing when I look back and I think about all the programs that aren't here anymore, but we are. I think about the people who derided radio that was supported by its listeners as bake sale radio. That person is not only not broadcasting anymore, that person is no more. I think about the dear friends that we have lost along the way, and I can't name them all. But some are always are never very far from my heart. People like Maura in New York, whose ability to breathe was ruined by the toxic dust of 9/11. The inimitable and never to be forgotten Bill, Mr. Stress Miller. Our dear, dear friend Peter Godbold, dear friend and benefactor Bruce up in Wisconsin. Bob Lottie, whom we lost just a few months ago. There are so many who made an impact in keeping this program going, who didn't make it to this anniversary. And so I would be remiss if I did not take a moment to remember them as well. On the other hand, I have some happy news. Everybody's been asking, and I've been asking, and I dropped an email. And I got a response today, and I'm so happy to have had a response today. I have heard Ralph said, and as I wrote earlier this week, what's happening with the fundraising for the 2021 Horn-In? Well, the problem is the 2021 part. Because at this point in time, you know, maybe if there had been a rational, sane, cogent, intelligent, science-based response to COVID-19, we wouldn't still be dealing with COVID-19 in 2020. As it is now, it is unreasonable to think that we're going to have any and be able to have any kind of a shindig as I had originally planned it in June of 2021. The weather right now is so nice that I even considered, hey, you know, it's the week after Bridge Day. It's warm and wonderful. Maybe we could do it in late October 2021. But I don't see it happening, and I don't think the scientists see it happening. So the best I can figure is that we're going to shoot for a Horn-In. And this is subject to change. We're going to shoot for a Horn-In in 2022, unless things get dramatically better, and I think part and parcel of that is getting Joe Biden into the White House, getting a Democratic majority in the Senate, maintaining the majority in the House, and seeing how a competent, responsible government responds to a pandemic. Yeah, I know, Ralphs. Darn, I believe you me. I've done a lot of the planning. And, you know, I've got friends who do music. I was planning on cooking like a crazy person and working on finally getting the book out. And things are still fluid, but they're not. I don't think it's fair. And I had some feedback among other people from Dave Number 11 saying, you know, I think you'd be jumping the gun to try to do a horn in June of 2021. And I've had input from Chris in Germany who said, you know, no way by June 2021 am I going to get on a transatlantic flight. And she's absolutely right. So we'll play that part by ear. And when that time comes with enough lead time, we will I'll do some sort of a crowdfunding campaign and set up everything so that people who want to come can come. And it would please my soul if we could just have a huge party. And there'll be special guests and so forth. I've talked to Malloy about him coming up. Dr. Bill would come over, Boss Man Wayne, and a few other folks that I think the wonderful and witty Tara Devlin. I think it'd be a great time, but and I hate to put it off because the purpose of it was really, really significant, and that was either getting this place to where it can survive for the rest of Agnes and my time on this mortal coil, or I don't know, dragging something on wheels into the yard and setting it up and hoping it lasts that long. But anyway, that's where all of that stands. But what I was saying earlier, I have happy news. Because I sent out an email earlier to a dear friend of the program. And I did, in fact, hear back. I'm talking about Lady B. I checked in, and she wrote back early this morning. Said, hey, I'm okay. Just needed to check myself before I wrecked myself. I cut down on posting on FARC a lot, too. I just needed to step back and stop the drama. I'm still cleaning empty buildings. It's dystopian, but at least I can listen to what I want. I'm also proud of my obsession with cleanliness, not OCD, just a black woman thing. I've so far purchased 200 disposable masks. I borrow boxes of gloves when I need them, and now that it's colder, I'm starting to order my groceries delivered again. My family's doing good, knock wood. Although one sister still insists on letting family and friends come over. I fear for her. She's got COPD and smokes. Sometimes I think that bitch knows she'll never live as long as my mom did. I fucking hate it. I fucking hate not being in control. But really, I'm fine. Colorado's been pretty righteous in extending our SNAP benefits and even helping pay our electric bills. Of course, COVID cases are still rising, but it isn't Jared Polis's fault. Colorado has its fair share of Trumpers, too. We'll vote blue, but that don't mean there won't be a few batshit crazy motherfuckers out there that ain't going to get psychotic about it. And we can talk about the psychotic part here in a little bit, too. I had a white male friend go with me to drop off my ballot. I carried it to the downtown drop box where I knew it would be safe. I felt like Ms. Jane fucking Pittman. There is a real genuine fear. I'm feeling the uneasiness, and I wonder if this is what my parents went through. Writing that just took my breath away. It's pretty hard to read the first time through, and not particularly easy this time either. I know we can get through this, Lady B says, if we could all just keep our heads about us. But this is all so fucking not normal. I wonder, do the elites recognize this? Is this what it feels like to live in a country where there's war and strife all the time? My God, I can't even begin to imagine that. I'm high, and this is turning into a diary, so I'm going to let you go. I'm fine. Still get high with my neighbor. And me and my twins still talk every day. Habitat for Humanity retiled my roof and built me a 6-foot-high cedar wood fence. Could a girl ask for anything more? Take care. Love you all. And hopefully, I'll feel comfortable meeting up again with you all soon. Let's get to 2021, y'all. Let's try to save this country. This is real, y'all. this is that bad, and this is for all the money. Vote safely and securely. Wear your masks. Wash your hands. We will get through this. I'll talk to y'all again soon. Signed, Lady B. I can't tell you how glad I was to get that email. When I don't hear from people, I worry. And y'all worry. Because this isn't just some radio show with some bunch of strangers who tune in to listen. One of the most magnificent aspects of the 15 years that we've been around here is that people have established connections with each other and formed spontaneously out of literally the thin air and the packets that pass over the internet a real and substantial, caring community. And I hope you know how rare and how precious that is. Mike in Cascadia asking me, any news on Charlie from Tenistan? Last time he called some time ago, he painted a dark picture as to his health. I've reached out. I've not heard anything back, Mike. And that is worrisome. I'll keep trying. I will. But, you know, it's like sometimes our families don't know how much communities like this mean to each other, mean to us. For instance, you know, Peter Godbold was a dear friend for years, and he had been passed away for maybe 2 years before we found out. So I don't know, but I'll keep trying to make contact with Charlie. So anyway, here in a very little bit, we will go to the front porch, maybe even go a little bit early, I don't know. And thank you, Mike, in Cascadia, jumping in and taking $25 off of Charlene in Rogues Island's challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. $75 to go on that. I said we could talk about psychosis. But before I do that, also something else. This past Tuesday, sometimes things get going so damn fast that I don't get around to the things I want to. We had something special happened on Tuesday. Giraffe wrote his first journal. And even though it was dated for Tuesday, it remains relevant. And there is now Giraffe's first journal entry challenge of $100 on the table. So there's $175 in challenges on the table. Hi. Wait a minute. I got to get my Giraffe voice. Hi. I, Jeffrey the Giraffe, wrote my first official journal Tuesday. On that day, Tuesday, October the 20th, Annie Sullivan, Helen Keller's tutor, died in 1936. Yes, Annie signed off. Shame on you, Giraffe. For the last time. She taught Helen some French, but Annie was not a French tutor. As well, on this day, October 20th, 1967, seven scumbags were convicted of violating the civil rights of Cheney, Goodman, and Schwerner in Meridian, Mississippi. They received 3 to 10 year sentences. Yeah, I guess killing a person might be considered a violation of their civil rights. Also in Mississippi, on Tuesday, October 20th, 1977, rock band Lynyrd Skynyrd's plane crashed near Meridian as the prop plane's engine collided with a free bird. Damn, Giraffe. And the United States Air Force plane crashed into a Ramada Hotel in Indianapolis on October 20th, 1987. Apparently, the proprietor of the hotel was not concerned because the hotel was planning on adding 2 new wings to the hotel anyways. Wow. For a first journal entry. This has been Giraffe's Journal for Tuesday, October the 20th, with Joey watching CNN on his new YouTubing account. YouTubing? Send YouTubing. Now, that one's not getting... No. I have limits. But on this day, October 23rd in 1983, old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, basically abandoned 241 Marines as the unarmed Marines were slaughtered in Beirut when a terrorist driving a yellow Mercedes truck in the early morning rammed the vehicle into the barracks, housing approximately 350 Marines. The Marines were in Beirut as part of a multinational peacekeeping mission between two warring Christian and Muslim factions. This after a year earlier in 1982, Israel's Lebanese allies slaughtered nearly 1,000 unarmed Palestinian civilian refugees. Yes, Reagan still sent the Marines into Beirut when just 1 year earlier 1,000 Palestinians were slaughtered. The Marines maintained a non-martial stance with their perimeter fence unfortified and their weapons unloaded. I'll add editorially that the brass told old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, they said, listen, Mr. President, the Marines are aboard Navy vessels off the Lebanese coast, and we can get them anywhere we need to get them to a lot faster than we can having them drive away from the barracks, and it is far more safe and secure. But nonetheless, old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, said, No, Mommy, we need to put the Marines in the barracks there to show the flag. And 241 good Marines died so Ronnie could show the flag. Yet not to worry, though. Rough, tough Ronnie Reagan would liberate Grenada just 2 days later. What's that, Giraffe? Giraffe muses that the invasion of Grenada... you mean Reagan invaded a car? I'm guessing Reagan could not afford the blowback from the press after his monumental marine disaster in Beirut. No, Giraffe, you're getting the Ford Granada mixed up with the island nation of Grenada. That's okay, Giraffe, because Reagan was so senile by the end of his presidency, he couldn't tell the difference between a car and a country either. That was quality. Well, ironically, on November 3rd, there will probably be 241,000 dead due to Trump's phenomenal fuck-up of the coronavirus epidemic. 241,000 is 1,000 times more than 241. And yes, Reagan was bad, but Trump is at least 1,000 times worse of a president than Reagan, if that's even possible. So it looks like the religious bigot is going to be installed on the Supreme Court, and as somebody said last night on the program, if I walked around claiming I had an invisible friend, I would be certifiable. Yeah, that was our pal Randy Radar. What's that, Giraffe? Giraffe says, well, Joey walks around with a giraffe and he can't get certified for anything. Well, that's because the giraffe is too smart and too damn funny. This has been Joey's Journal for Friday on the Front Porch, October the 23rd, anniversary night for the Horn, with Giraffe holding up his certified ballot. And so, yes, the Giraffe's first journal entry challenge of $100 is on the table, and that'll wipe out the week and be a tremendous help if we can do that. So $175 remaining on the two challenges. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Giraffe. Thank you very kindly, Joey. Thank you, Charlene. And thank you for the kind anniversary gifts to Ralph's. And thank you very kindly to our other good friend. So, psychosis? Yeah, it's like, you know, I know old Cy. Do you know old Cy? Yeah. Well, Roger, hope springs eternal. Roger said, well, shit, I was getting ready for a nice train trip to D.C., then rent a car and drive down to the Horn Inn. I don't think my housing in D.C. will still be available in 2022. We'll see. I mean, you know what? it's conceivable that it could happen like this time in 2021, but only if we get competent government and can manage to, and this goes to another question from the program last night, if we can manage to tamp down the stupidity coming from the maggots, because they are definitely not going to go away. And the Washington Post is predicting that what's coming is going to be the worst stretch of the pandemic we have yet experienced. And if you knew, if you watched the pageant last night, you know that there is no plan whatsoever in this current maladministration to do a damn thing, win, lose, or draw, win or lose, between now and January the 20th. 2021. Hundreds of thousands, nay, maybe even millions of lives. Hinge on the election that closes on November the 3rd. The Washington Post says, in an article by William Wan and Jacqueline Dupree, America is poised to enter the worst stretch ever of the coronavirus pandemic, with cases spiking and the country on the precipice of shattering its daily record for infections in the next few days. Because, you know, we did that yesterday, too. Yesterday we had the highest number since July. The current surge is already considerably more widespread than the waves from last summer and spring. On Thursday, the number of cases topped 70,000 for the first time since July, as noted. The unprecedented geographic spread of the current surge makes it especially dangerous, with experts warning it could lead to dire shortages of medical staff and supplies. Already, hospitals are reporting shortfalls of basic drugs needed to treat COVID-19. And it's not, contrary to whatever COVID Caligula says, it's not just a matter of increased testing showing more cases, because testing is down in a whole bunch of states. 38 states saw COVID-19 hospitalizations go up in the last week. And in the West and the Midwest, the increase is so damned fast that hospitals are already swamped. And the number of deaths nationally has crested above 1,000 in recent days. Now, here's the difference. That July number, four states accounted for 40,000 out of the 76,533 on July 17th. Arizona, California, Florida, and Texas. Ever so much different now. 14 states are accounting for the same majority. 22 states have broken their records for single-day case highs. 170 counties across 36 states designated rising hotspots. And then, also, Eleanor J. Murray, an epidemiologist at Boston University, said no one knows how high this wave will grow before it peaks. We're starting this wave much higher than either of the previous waves, and it'll simply keep going up until people and officials decide to do something about it. We stand at 8.3 million infections. And that monster, that misanthrope, that walking disaster of DNA stood on a stage in an auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee, at Belmont University last night and said, "We're learning to live with the disease." And mercifully, Joe Biden, who is not, I mean, I'm not gooning on him, but he's not real quick on his feet. He never has been. But man, he was ready, and he said, "We're not learning to live with it. We're learning to die with it." And it was as though Donald Trump was made of flash paper and he went right up in smoke because he got burnt to the ground. It is In fact, well, I say it every night. It's not over. It's not going away. It's real. Because it is. And then one other little piece of, I guess this you wouldn't say that this was surprising, but he made a point, Nitwit Nero did, of gooning on Dr. Fauci last night. Well, today, Dr. Fauci, he didn't call him an orange duty head or anything. Dr. Fauci is, among other things, besides being a doctor, he's a classicist. He is better steeped in his Latin and Greek and all of that than I am. And so he responds in that fashion. But according to NBC News, Dr. Fauci informed them that COVID Caligula hasn't been to a coronavirus task force meeting in months. And that's probably good. If he's not there, maybe he can't fuck it up. But it does speak to something, a news story from months ago now, when one of the members of his maggot maladministration said, oh, he's so over this. I mean, this was back in, what, late spring, early summer? He's over this. He's moved on from this. Well, he may have moved on. Others haven't. Over 210,000 of us can't, because we can't move at all, because we've either been reduced to ash or put 6 feet under the surface of the earth. But yeah, he hasn't showed up to a meeting in months. And as far as the coronavirus task force itself, minus Nitwit Nero, Dr. Fauci says there's about a meeting a week. Imagine that. The pandemic is burning up 14 states right now, many of which are so-called red states, Trump states. And they barely get together for coffee once a week. At one point, they were meeting daily. But it got down to one a week lots of weeks ago, according to Dr. Fauci talking to Chuck Todd over there at MSNBC. He went on and added, I definitely don't have Trump's ear as much as Scott Atlas. You know, the not an epidemiologist, not an infectious disease expert, dude radiologist from Fox News, who got COVID Caligula to adopt the idea of herd mentality, which means that he's just going to let it burn and let people die. He tried that bullshit of, we could have had 2 million dead. Listen, you dumbass, we still can. Especially with through malevolent neglect. Direct involvement with the president, Fauci said? No, I haven't done that in a while. Now, I realize I'm some sort of wild-eyed radical, but you'll forgive me if I think that that level of malevolent neglect is an impeachable offense. How can you protect and defend the Constitution if you won't protect the people for whom the Constitution exists? Kyle in Kentucky Stan said, Biden had a few good comebacks last night that kind of surprised me. I loved it when he called him. Yeah, get a load of Abraham Lincoln over here. Kyle observing, we have a president who can't even be bothered to show up for meetings on how to combat a fucking deadly pandemic virus. Fuck you maggots for the terrorism coming from this Nazi administration you've enabled. And that was all in caps, but I didn't want to yell. Arthur says, Biden learning to die with it. I still remember the Biden-Paul Ryan debate. Biden can deliver good punchlines. Yeah, he can. He just has to be ready for him. And he was ready last night. Get a load of Abraham Lincoln over here. Reminded me of, what was it, Sheldon Leonard? You know, Dan and I were talking about It's a Wonderful Life in the Pottersville segment of the movie. That's Sheldon Leonard that's at the cash register in Martini's place. And Clarence has already mentioned how every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings, and Sheldon Leonard, with that wonderful voice, it was Sheldon Leonard, wasn't it? All right, that's enough. Out you pixies go! And starts hitting the cash register button to make the bell ring and the drawer open. Get me! I'm giving out wings! We got a president who's given out 210,000 sets of wings. Albert in Rhode Island says, Dr. Fauci should have called Dope 45 a fecal encephalo. That term describes Trump perfectly. It means he has shit for brains or shit for a head. Yeah. Kephalos, meaning head. Alexander the Great's horse's name was Bucephalos, which means ox head. About that judge, Robert in Australia says, could it be argued that the Senate approval of that judge was illegal as the required number of senators from both parties were not present? Yeah, Robert, you can argue that. They argued it yesterday, as a matter of fact. And Precious Lindsay said, listen, I'm about to lose my Senate seat. I ain't going to let some silly old rule stop me from putting this religious maniac on the bench. Now, how might a subsequent Senate view it? That's a different matter. The problem is, anytime you find yourself having to remove a Supreme Court judge or any Article III constitutional judge for that matter, your only remedy is impeachment. And before and hopefully we on our side will not start hollering, you know, okay, go ahead, confirm her, we'll impeach her. No, don't do that. Don't smarten up the chumps. Yeah. I said psychos. Well, you know, I had the email from Suman last night in which he said, beginning to think this show is magic. I've had little hints for 15 years. Last night, lo and behold, we're talking about dreams. Today, I get a story about representing Clay Higgins, referred to as the Cajun John Wayne, which in my book is not a good thing, and his fourth wife, who, no kidding, is named Becky. Granted, in the photograph I'm looking at, Clay is not seated naked in a chair with a tennis ball in his mouth wrapped around with duct tape while he watches Becky take on the Seventh Fleet or anything, like, you know, Jerry Jr. But still, his wife, and she's his fourth attempt at having a wife, this good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Republican. He's tried and failed three times, but hope springs eternal, and so he's working on wife number four, and yes, her name is Becky. This then led to a bizarre tweet today at 3 p.m. this afternoon, representing Clay Higgins, the Cajun John Wayne. Damn sure not the Cajun Albert Einstein, that's for sure. My wife has the gift of premonition. Last night, she dreamed that federal squads were in our home seizing guns, knives, unauthorized foods, and stored water. They said we had been reported. Becky awoke crying. What happened to our freedom? She asked. What indeed? You know, generally when somebody you love wakes up crying from a bad dream, it's usually best to hold them, let them get fully awake, tell them everything's okay, it was only a dream. But no, representing Clay Higgins wants her to understand that her dream was reality. What happened to our freedom? She asked. Well, honey, our freedom's just fine. You know, their kid's name's Freedom. No, it's not. Our freedom's just fine. There are no blue-helmeted UN enforcer goons knocking down our door. No, honey, we're nice and white. No federals or anybody, any other kind of squads are going to come through our door at night. No, Becky, no. Nobody's going to blow you away in your sleep. You're not Breonna Taylor. We're white folks. It's Louisiana, baby.
They said we had been reported.
You know, I'm thinking, and I'm no medical professional, but I'm thinking that maybe if she's stressing out that bad, you know, a little therapy, a little talk therapy, maybe some better living through chemistry, a little anti-anxiety medication. Because I'm sure representing Clay Higgins, who had a career in law enforcement, and that's how he became known as the Cajun John Wayne, by abusing people of color and generally behaving like a fascist stormtrooper, and I think he got sued a couple of times, maybe. He's not gonna go out and score a bag or, you know, here, honey, hit this. Oh, because, you know, one of the things that happens with cannabis usage is that it will reduce your ability to remember your dreams, or it does for some folks. Sounds like Becky could use some. Oh, but in the photograph of the happy couple, I guess she's leaning on the seat of a motorcycle. He's standing behind her with a black shirt with the sleeves cut out like he's Ted Kluszewski from the 1960 Reds. Got his dark glasses on and his head shaved. Some kind of insignia on it. Almost looks like a Reich Eagle on his upper left shoulder. And Becky, she's got her black sleeveless shirt on, Ted Kluszewski style. And she's leaning on the bike and she's holding up her fist with a bunch of bracelets on it. Staring defiantly into the camera as though she's waiting for those federal squads to come through her door to get her
her unauthorized lean cuisine. Now these people want for nothing. All their needs are met. They're not going hungry. They don't have to worry about paying their light bills. He's a member of Congress. They've got the best health care that America has to offer. But I guess Becky's worried about how the is this the Obama FEMA goon squads that are going to come for him. I don't know, but they are being savaged on the internet. Puff, puff, pass, y'all. Now quit that. No way, no way would Mrs. Cajun John Wayne ever smoke the demon weed. I love this particular tweet. Imagine being able to see the future and still marrying a guy named after moldable mud, Clay. This one stung, though. True story, I had a dream last night about my dad. He and I were having a conversation. Then I woke up and remembered that he was killed a few months ago by GOP incompetence. And it went on from there. Seek help, you weirdo. I had a nightmare that 545 children were cruelly ripped away from their parents by Trump and his jackbooted thugs and put in freezing cages, never to be reunited with their parents again. Then I woke up and realized Trump had actually done this. Yeah. That was another pretty solid performance in last night's pageant.
Many of these children were brought here by coyotes.
Agnes and I were watching together, holding hands, because we were holding hands just to keep each other from losing it. Sometimes she'd squeeze my hand, sometimes I'd squeeze hers. There was no dreaming or screaming or crying involved. We were all very much attached. We were both very much attached to reality. And Trump made the line about,
they were brought here by coyotes.
And Agnes said, what? And I said, coyotes. Coyotes? You mean like Acme? No, honey. No. The unscrupulous human flesh smugglers are often referred to in vernacular parlance as coyotes. And, oh. But it was simply not true, and Biden was ready for that. They weren't brought here by coyotes. They were brought here by their parents. And there were several moments where he, you know, they had briefed him and briefed him and briefed him and tried to get him to get him on board with his own talking points. And they tried to get him to make as much sense as possible out of the nonsensical Hunter Biden stuff. And he kept trying to go back to it, but neither Kristen Welker nor Joe Biden were taking the bait. And while I was sitting there screaming, you know, shoot him in the back, Gomez, Biden did the right thing. And it didn't stick. And on the other hand, he hammered him with Rudy Giuliani a couple of times, and that did stick. Calm down, Becky, says Scott in San Diego. Okay, so your doorbell just rang. It's only the Avon lady. Yes, yes, Stephen. Oh, my God. Stephen, New York. Those coyotes can really be wily. Had to figure that was going to happen.
James in Illinois, Becky's Dream. He made that shit up. Give me a break. Yeah, probably. I mean, he is, after all, an evangelical Christian Republican maggot. But still, this notion of the dystopia to come, how is it she's not waking up crying because of the dystopia she's in? Well, because it doesn't touch her. That's why. Bob, what exactly is unauthorized food? Asks Albert in Rhode Island. Good question, but you're not a maggot and you're not constantly inundated with the kind of poisonous mind filth that comes out of right-wing, white-wing broadcasting. So, Albert, you may not know that, for instance, there's unauthorized beverages. You know, did you know you can be put in prison in life in New York City for drinking a big gulp from 7-Eleven that's of unacceptable size? Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Emery and Marvelline would never even think about buying a big gulp in New York City because they don't want to spend their golden years in the slammer. And there's food out there that's unauthorized because it's got stuff in it that the liberals don't like. Too much sugar, too much starch. And the liberals are going to come for your sugars and your starches and your carbs and your proteins and your processed foods and your cheese goop in a jar. Oh, and you'll go away for a long time for that. Kyle observing, oh, Jesus Christ, they're so fucking paranoid they dream about guns being seized by the state? Or is that some kind of call to arms for the white-wing terrorists? These people need serious help, and people vote for them. Jesus Christ. Well, no, you want to get real scared? I mean, come on, Kyle, you're in Kentucky, Stan, my brother. That's Louisiana, Stan, but, I mean, you got people in a congressional district there that send, Massey. Thomas Massey, M-A-S-S-I-E, that send that dumb little bastard to Congress. You got people in a congressional district that have been sending Hal Rogers to Congress since Christ was a corporal in the army of God. And that's not me gooning on you or specifically on Kentucky, but every time you see one of these stormtroopers from La La Land. And I don't mean Los Angeles, although the abbreviation for Louisiana is L.A. But every time you see one of them in Congress and see them do something like this, indeed, Becky, indeed, you have to remember they didn't get there on their good looks. They certainly didn't get there on their sharp wit. They didn't get there on their brains. They got there because there is a significant number of people in that congressional district who are even weirder than they are. Louis Gohmert is in the Congress, in the House of Representatives, because there are people in his district who think he's normal. The same with Cajun John Wayne Clay Higgins or Chip Roy from Dribblin' Dick, Texas, or whatever. The people back home are even weirder than they are. Steve King. How many Nazis and Klansmen and neo-Confederates must there be in, what is it, Iowa's 5th Congressional District to have sent him there? Term after term, Congress after Congress. So, just think of it. Think of it that way, Kyle. David in South Carolina, Stan, says, Noel Casler and Tom Arnold both said Donald Trump was fueled by Xanax last night. It looked like he was dosed pretty good. But the other thing that comes of that, too, is don't ascribe everything to better living through chemistry. what happened last night told me that what he did in the first debate was entirely contrived strategery. And last night, they realized, his handlers, and I guess they got all the way through to him, that the strategy didn't work in the first pageant. So this time they said, no, let Biden talk. He'll stutter. He'll stutter, or he'll fuck up, or he'll say something stupid. You just let him do it, boss.
Oh, okay, that's smart.
And the closest he got was,
he wants to shut down the oil industry. You want to shut down the oil industry, Joe?
Well, yeah, eventually we have to if we want to keep living on the planet, dummy. Abe Lincoln. Get me. I'm Abraham Lincoln. I'd meant to go to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable a little bit earlier, but, got carried away, I'm afraid. That happens when your Republican Beckys are out there having waking hallucinations and whatnot. But let's run over and check in with Sparky in the old holler tree. Hey, Sparky. 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 Can anybody in the group?
Hey, I'm here.
Okay. All right.
I didn't realize I was muted.
Ah.
I'm just over here. Sitting in the chair enjoying the day. I mean, there's no freaking wind today to speak of. We had like 20 to 30 mile an hour winds yesterday. There were parts of the county or Shasta County that were shut down, power safety shutdowns. And there's no smoke in the sky. I can see Lassen again. And it's blue sky. There ain't a cloud in the sky.
Oh, aren't those, this time of year, aren't those just magic?
83 degrees.
Perfect.
Yep.
Hey, that's space folding weather.
Yeah, that's why I'm out here.
Yeah.
You know, I got out and I mowed some oak leaves, blew up some dust, but it's easier to mow them up, mulch them kind of, and try and rake them up like I used to do.
Oh, and you know how you were saying that I heard you say a couple of weeks ago that you couldn't find the picture of Ferg hugging your redwood? It showed up.
Yeah.
It showed up on Facebook for me the other day. And I...
That was in 2014.
That was wild. That was 6 years ago.
How did it show up on your Facebook page?
As a memory from six years past.
Oh, okay.
And that's the man cave, but that's behind him, isn't it?
Yeah, on the other side. On the other side of the oak tree is the rock shop, and the rock shop's hooked to the man cave.
Ah, okay. But Ferg's got that big old grin on his face.
Yeah, the end of the man cave is about, 55 feet from that oak tree, the north end of the man cave.
But I thought you'd like to know now, do you still have that, or?
Oh, it's on one of the computers. I've got three computer towers.
Ah, okay.
My oldest one's been giving me problems. And then the middle one started giving me problems. So I got the newest one back in the office in the Skype command, because Judy doesn't use it anymore. She uses her smartphone all the time. So, but I was playing around with a computer the other day and I noticed Firefox is picture in picture. So right now I got MSNBC floating over the Skype page, so I can see what's going on there. I just wanted to check it out for election night.
Yeah,
if we have we won't have any returns by the time the show's over, so the back porch will be a place to go watch returns and talk about them and cheer if we get a.
Now I will be I will be live. Well, I hope I'll be live subbing for Malloy that night.
Oh, okay. But I thought you wanted to have a front porch that day.
Oh, I do. I definitely do.
Okay, so then there'll be a back porch.
Right.
And you can toddle off and sub for Malloy.
And I just I just sent you the picture of Ferg there, so you can have it easy reach.
Oh, in my email?
In your messenger.
Oh, okay. Did you watch that Jimmy Kimmel video?
Yeah, I did.
Did you show that end, the video his wife made?
Yeah, that's
Agnes.
Yeah, I did, and she was like, oh my God. That was powerful.
Yeah. And then she listened. I forget where she used to work, but she was in the entertainment industry anyway. But they list all of them senators.
And they did
a special effect on it. They lit them all up in red or something.
Yeah, as they named each one, all the senators who had opposed, well, you know, protection for pre-existing conditions. And, of course, the Lincoln Project burned him on the pre-existing conditions and burned him on the idea that he's got some replacement for the Affordable Care Act. I've got that ready to go in fairly short order.
I sent you another one that came out yesterday.
Is that maybe we're talking about the same one?
No, this is a different one. Maybe. I don't know. It's about Republicans.
Oh, okay. This is specifically with regard to his health care plan. You know, the one he keeps announcing will be out, you know, any day now.
In 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
The one that he gives Leslie, they give Leslie Stahl a big book that's full of blank paper.
Did they not think that she'd open it? I mean, honest to God, really?
I can't wait to watch the 60 Minutes Sunday night and what she says about that.
Yeah, he keeps, you know, apparently nobody ever told him you don't start a war with someone who buys ink by the barrel. Because they always get the last word.
Yeah, why they released that video? That video doesn't do anything for him.
No, but he demanded it. He was, because everything is about ratings to him.
I'll just ruin their ratings. I'll release it now.
No, but this is the new Lincoln Project ad here. Let me pot it up.
We're going to get a health bill passed. We're going to get health care taken care of in this country.
We have a plan that's going to be, I think, fantastic. It'll be released fairly
February 2017.
Really terrific, I believe, health care plan coming out.
We're going to have
March 2017.
Plan that's going to be second to none.
We have May 2018.
Plans coming out.
Coming out in a very short period of time.
We're going to come up
April
with a 2019. Plan. We're not going to vote on it until after the election.
The plan is coming out
May
over
2019.
The next 4 weeks.
We're going to produce phenomenal health care. We'll be
June 2019.
We have a great plan.
August 2019.
Signing a health care plan within 2 weeks.
July 2020.
A full and complete healthcare plan.
We're going to be doing a very inclusive healthcare plan. I'll be signing it sometime very soon.
We're going to be introducing a tremendous healthcare plan sometime prior, hopefully prior to the end of the month.
In June of last year, you said the healthcare plan would come in 2 weeks. You told Chris Wallace that this summer would come in 3 weeks. You promised an executive order on pre-existing.
I have it already.
But he has no plan for healthcare.
So why didn't you develop the health plan?
It is developed. It is fully developed. It's going to be announced very soon. We will come up with a plan. Yeah, we will.
Yeah, when? And I got to give them credit. At the Lincoln Project, they always find the best music.
The best music. Only the best music.
Sam Elliott also.
Yep, I ran that one a couple of nights ago.
Well, there's one put out by Biden, Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
And then there's a second one that he did for the Lincoln Project. Different one.
Oh, really? I did. Okay. Well, I saw a note earlier. Billable Rick, you've got a split in short order. Is that? Do I understand that correctly?
Oh yes, I do. Hey, how's it going, Bob?
Doing good. We haven't really. You've been kind of quiet of late. I figure you were. This is your billable hours time of year, and I was thinking about that. And
yeah, that's right. It is. I mean, that they don't call me billable for nothing, right?
Right.
I've got to split in about, I guess it's 50 minutes. I have a mission here. It's to, I don't know if it's possible, but I'm trying to kill Tom Petty all over again.
Dear God, was once not enough?
No, actually what it is he would have turned, I think he just turned recently, it would have been his 70th birthday. Was it earlier this week, I think, or something like that. And so on his website, TomPetty.com, there's a special, like, five-hour-long concert with lots of performers, like, his bandmates from the Heartbreakers, of course, and people like Stevie Nicks, Jackson Brown, who else? Foo Fighters, kinds of great bands.
Oh, wow. So, is it a political fundraiser for anything, hopefully?
It probably has something to do with voting, I imagine. Hopefully so, And so I, being the Tom Petty fanatic, I'm going to be watching that. Also, earlier this week, they just released, a new version of Wildflowers, which was his favorite album. And it's actually like two albums now. It originally was going to be 25 songs when it was first released, but they had to scale it back due to the length of the album. And he didn't want to have it cost his fans any more money. So he made sure it was, a decent price they could afford. So that's also being offered for sale. But I would think there's going to be lots of political messages with the concert. I mean, most artists aren't maggots, They're actually thinking people.
Well, that's, yeah, and what the reason I asked was it political was because it was a couple of months ago, I guess, that Tom Petty's family said, quit using Tom's fucking music, you dick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, believe you me, I'm sure there will be a lot of politics brought to the table because it is a very, important time right now. And I think Uncle Joe did wonderful last night. That's my opinion.
I had nothing to complain about. I thought he was a little bit slow out of the gate. But what really slayed me were the headlines this morning that boiled down to Trump doesn't bite head off bat, doesn't play with self on stage or rip clothing off. Big step forward.
So he didn't go tubing, I guess, huh?
Yeah, right. He didn't go tubing.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Or Rudian. Didn't he wait a minute? Wait! He didn't go Rudying around down there looking for something. Get it rooting around, Rudying around. Hi, come on, anything? Bueller?
Yeah, cowbell.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure, Bob. That was painful.
And speaking
of the Ani thing,
that Sasha Baron Cohen's movie is getting released, I think, this weekend.
Yes, yeah, on Amazon Prime. Hey.
Tracy.
Yeah.
Hey, Tracy.
That would be me. I am sitting here in my palatial office, staring at a page at a Word document of trying to figure out what to write about Maya Angelou. So instead of doing that, I decided to call y'all.
We are professional procrastinators, Tracy. We will be happy to help.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Because I have to do two things. I have to write a response and analyze the story, and then I have to do a free write about how the story affects me. And I do much better. The free writing part, I have it nailed. That's no big deal, because it's just coming from my, you know, how the story affected me, and do I have anything in my life that reminded me of, and of course, being my age, of course it does. But it's like when I had to analyze shit, I'm like, motherfuckers, analyze this, bitch. No, it's... And I was excited, you know.
It's almost like you were channeling me on the night before the term paper was due 30 years ago. Motherfucker.
Exactly. Give her a freaking cowbell, Bob. Come on.
You're damn right. Oh, and I want you to know that, you know, I am trying not to just constantly be using those nicotine pouches. So I since you sent the multi-flavor assortment this time, I've been trying one of the chocolate lollipops.
Two boxes. Yes. So it's chocolate, vanilla, coffee,
cafe au lait, and
caramel.
And cafe au lait and butterscotch.
Oh, that's right, butterscotch, cafe au lait.
And you know what?
Right.
This chocolate lollipop has got it all over a Tootsie Pop chocolate lollipop. I always gave away chocolate Tootsie Pops. This is real. This is like this tastes like fudge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was really disappointed, because what I really wanted to send you, in addition to, they have for the fall, are caramel apple lollipops.
Ooh.
But they sold out.
I thought you were going to say pumpkin spice, and I was going to don't do that.
I would never have done that, because I would never have lived it down. You would have talked the amount of shit that you would have given me. It is
pumpkin
so
spice lollipop shipping.
No, they would never do that. And you know, the gods of Providence must have been, you know, because I was trying to decide as to whether or not I was going to sign on or turn on the show. And just as I turned it on, I heard your letter, some of your letter from the last part of the letter from Lady B. So that made me feel so good to know that she's alive and well, and you know, doing what she has to do. This, you know, as the song from Good, you know, keeping your head above water, making a way if you can, you know, from good times. So I'm glad to know that she's doing okay, that she's still amongst us. That made my heart soar. It really, really did. Even though what she wrote was depressing as fuck, but still, at least I know that she's okay.
Yeah, sometimes we just have to live in reality. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, no. It's the reality of what we're going through right now. It's just, you know, I've been struggling with my own shit, with my depression, and I got a little behind in school, but I'm doing okay now. But it was just, it's the monotony of getting up every day and doing nothing. I mean, it's like, I am so...
Hey, what kind of nothing are we going to do today?
Right. I mean, I can only binge watch so many things. And now, I mean, I at least while Lovecraft Country was on, I have something to look forward to every week. Now, you know, for the last 10 weeks, now that show, the season finale was on Sunday. And so, but they have it. These motherfuckers. Okay. Now, okay. So here's the deal. Now, y'all know about Keith Raniere and NXIVM and all that other bullshit, right?
Yeah.
You know, white people-y. So after, when Lovecraft Country would go off, The Vow would come on, and it was basically about this whole, the whole NXIVM and DOS and all this other shit. Again, white people-y. But, and they drugged this out for 9 weeks. There was really, this thing did not need to last 9 weeks, because it was just like, we know what happened. And enough of it. Do you know that they've already announced a season two for DeVal, but have yet to announce a season two for Lovecraft Country? White people. I swear to Jesus, and that show was so amazing, and people are still talking about it. Their numbers for that show went through the roof for HBO. But they have yet to say whether or not it's going to be renewed for another season. So, yeah, I'm slightly bitter about that.
Some of that has to do with whether or not they can get the cast.
You know, this show was so good, Bob. I can't imagine that if they announced it, that these people wouldn't go back to, you know, because you know how these shows are.
But there's contractual obligations involved too. I mean, that's how Deadwood came to die.
Yeah, right.
they couldn't get everybody on the same page at the same time, and people got to keep working. You know, Dan,
Bob,
our buddy Dan Fish,
TV shows. Okay,
what?
Stop telling us about dead TV shows. Okay,
all right. Yeah.
Hey, Tracy, are you enjoying Fargo?
You know, I have to catch up. I watched the first 2-3 episodes.
That's where I'm at.
So I'm behind. I think I'm behind 2 episodes from that. But I didn't. I'm really enjoying Chris Rock.
He's been spectacular. Yes,
not a huge fan of Chris Rock, but on this, I'm digging Chris Rock, and I'm digging, you know, black gangsters, and you know, going up against the mafia, you know, the Italians, and you know, it's just, and Glenn Thurman is a god. He's so good, and so you know, so you saw the episode when they were talking about the credit cards, and that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
That was priceless. I'm sitting there like, of course black people came up with that.
That was so good. Yeah, everybody's going to get on board for that.
Because see, I just watch it the next day on Hulu. So I don't even bother to record it because, I can just watch it the next day on Hulu. But I'm still showing people what we do in the shadows. Now, who has anybody seen that show?
Nuh-uh.
That's on Hulu too. It's about vampires and it's funny.
Oh yeah, that was brought up a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, you guys have to watch that shit, man. I don't get excited. I mean, you know, white people humor, but it's just,
that's not just white folks humor. That's up over down under.
Right. But these people are hilarious. And then of course, cause I've been trying to immerse myself in black excellence. And it's just because I get so overwhelmed with the crazy that is this country right now that I have to, you know, like shower in black excellence. Have you guys, have you watched Woke on Hulu? That's another good one.
No, I don't have Hulu.
Oh, you don't have Hulu. Okay.
No.
Well, Woke is good as well. It's about a black comic book artist and writer who is one of those black people. I would say he's along the lines of, maybe a Don Lemon. It's like, I'm black, but what, you know, everything is not as bad as people are saying, you know, what we're going through as black people. It's just, you know, because I'm a good one, the good ones, and none of these things will happen to me.
Yeah.
And so what happens is he gets accosted by the police, and he gets woke, and he loses his shit. It's amazing. It is just because, you know, we as black people, there's a contingent of us that feel, oh yeah, no. I mean, I don't think it is so Well, there are still some like that now, but I think the more that things are happening, the more and more that Black people, and I'm, of course, since I'm speaking for the entire, you know, African-American community.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that is your job.
Don't forget lesbians, too.
And lesbians, you know. Well, see, this is more about the diaspora.
Hey, Tracy, you must get tired of your service, you know?
It's a lot of weight to lift.
That's another reason why y'all haven't
done it. Wasn't it exhausting, Tracy?
It's
like the go-to person for all these things.
You know, doing homework and then having to carry the weight of my people on my shoulders. It is just overwhelming, y'all. And there's only so much one person can do.
Black female Moses, Tracy.
Hey. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, baby.
Hey, Steve.
Hey,
Steve.
I guess I typically have to carry the gay white Catholic thing.
Oh, God. Jesus. Hey, yeah. So Pope said it's okay that we're human beings.
Yeah. Well, you know, in all honesty, he said that. He said that when he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires. So it's not new.
I swear, it's
a big deal coming from the Pope, though.
Steve, right. he's no intellectual slouch. I swear, I think he did it just to put a finger in Tony's parrot's eye.
And yes. Mike Pompeo.
Yeah, and Pompeo. And of course, Newton Leroy Gangrene and his adulterous, fornicatory wife, the ambassador to the See of St. Peter. Hey, right. Yeah, gay folks can have civil unions. And Callista, gargle with holy water. Get to it.
I have to make a major correction to you, Bob.
Yes?
Uh-oh.
You know, major. It's weird. I never quite understand why I, as lapsed as I am as a Catholic, I feel like I'm always defending the church. Probably because I've had a very good experience where I've been, so it's not as bad. But it's not called the See of St. Peter.
What is it?
It's the Holy See.
Oh.
Well.
Holy crap.
Potato, potato.
or as I used to say, you say potato, I say vase. Ha ha.
Ha ha, yeah.
Okay. No. By the way, did you see? I actually figured out.
It would be funny. It would be funnier if you said, "You say potato, I say kumquat." Kumquat is one of the funniest words in the English language.
Yes, and they're kind of good. I've had it before. They're kind of good.
Yeah, you it's a little.
It's like a little pickled orange.
Yeah, kind of bitter. You eat peeling and all.
Mm-hmm. But did you see? I figured out the healthcare plan.
Oh, do tell, Steve. Do tell.
Well, if you remember. The Republican health care plan was to die quickly.
Right.
Ron Grayson, Steve, right?
Yeah, so that's what the COVID response is.
Ah.
That's the first thing I thought.
It's the ultimate manifestation of the Republican health care plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then those people.
Yeah, none of this lingering around shit. Die and do it quickly.
Die!
Hurry up.
By the way, I think. By the way, after, you know,
less people we have to worry about. I'm sorry.
Flavio sent me that story last night about how the college kids in La Crosse eventually managed to start killing the nursing home residents, long-term care facility residents.
Oh, great.
The same thing's going on at the University of Michigan as well. They're going to quarantine the students. Bob, did you hear about
that? Yeah, and so I think I invented a new word. Geriatricide.
Ooh, cowbell for that.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, thank you. Oh, and I have to send out thanks to Samson. Thank you, Samson, very kindly. That means Charlene's challenge is met. And now all we have left is the Giraffrey's first journal entry challenge, courtesy of Joey and Giraffrey. And so that's a $100 challenge that we can hopefully knock out in the next hour and a half or so.
Yeah. Hey, Bradford, Bob,
did an excellent job.
Bob, I'm thinking of doing a food, like once a month. I'd like to do it more, but coming into the holidays and having like a special food thing once a month, where I'm like, if somebody gives such and such, I'll send them. Because I think the next thing is there was a when I was a kid, there was a place back in Ohio that was actually based in Dayton. They used to make chocolates, and one of the things they have is chocolate covered potato chips.
God, one Christmas season, they had those in the Wally World here, and I actually talked about them on the air. They were the most exquisite things I'd ever. Oh my God!
What was? I mean, the name of the company is Esther Price. It's.
Well, no, this was like Lay's, or no, it was Ruffles. Okay. It was Ruffles, I think, because okay. they were thick, ridged potato chips dipped in dark chocolate. Holy yeah. cats!
Yeah, they have
Steve. Is that connected to Price's candy? Isn't that a
no?
Oh, okay, no. Never mind.
Esther Price is one local to Dayton, back in Ohio, and they've been doing that for a long time. You can buy a box of dark chocolate or milk chocolate. I think you can get both, and then they have caramel and I mean, when I was a kid, they were called turtles. I don't know what they're called nowadays. You know, like caramel and but they have one. Yeah, they have one that's. They have ones that are cashew. So it's cashews.
Oh God! Yeah.
Dipped in chocolate. So I'm thinking I'm gonna. I gotta figure out which one I'm gonna. They have a bunch of shit on their site. I'm gonna. That's one of the things I'm gonna do because the. Yeah. It's, what the hell was that?
What was that?
Don't know.
Was that a cat?
Uh-oh, I think that might have been the snake in Bob's studio.
Shut up. That was Sam.
Sam.
And I didn't hear Bob for a sec. I'm like, oh my God, he ate Bob. It ate Bob.
You bastard.
Bastard.
Bob Serpent.
Oh, the anniversary of your snow no last day. Happy
oh, and by the way, thanks so much. I had a lovely note from Faith. Faith said, congratulations on your horniversary, Bob. We absolutely love and appreciate you and the crew more than you know. Thank you for all that you do. Here's to 15 and 15 more. Much love, Faith. Yep. Faith and Andrew. Thank you, Faith. Thank you, Andrew. That's F and A. F and A! Faith and Andrew. Ooh, that's... F and A is cowbell worthy.
Yeah. Okay, so Jan just came in my office to tell me that they just uncovered a plot to assassinate Joe Biden.
Another one?
No.
That was yesterday.
No, that's the third, right?
Yes, another one.
Oh, my God.
Wait, where
people?
Where was this one out of? It may still be the one yesterday.
I don't know. She just came in. No. Do you know what is it the same one from yesterday or is this a new one? Is it the same one from yesterday or is this a new one?
Yesterday was North Carolina, Kannapolis, North Carolina.
Both sides do it, Bob.
Both sides do it.
Yeah, you got to watch out for the Antifa and the BLM people, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, they're terrorists.
Kannapolis.
The duck hunters have gone for BLM.
I am so tired of these fools. It's like... You know, it just goes to show.
I am so motherfucking sick of these motherfucking maggots on this motherfucking Trump train.
Yes.
Right.
They're bringing.
Oh, David in South Carolina Stan said, "Tell him thanks. I just ordered 2 pounds of dark chocolate covered espresso beans."
Ooh. Ooh. Those are really good.
Ooh. Hey, by the way, aren't we getting into Palmen season?
Palmen season won't be here until Christmas.
But we're getting close.
Yes.
I've never had those, and I actually, you know, I just might have to.
Yeah, I had them 1 year.
They're hard to come by. They disappear quickly.
Hey, Steve, one thing I've never had is an egg cream. Do you egg creams? Do you like egg creams?
I've never.
They're kind of... They're kind of okay. I made a point of having one when I was in New York last, just to say I had, Chris.
You know what?
It's a chocolate soda without the ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't think they actually make the old egg creams anymore because there's something wrong about eating raw eggs.
No, they never had any eggs in them to begin with.
No.
Yeah.
You know what, Bob? Will you stop with this knowing shit stuff? Can you just let me live in my delusion, please?
Sorry, Steve.
Aren't they like seltzer water with chocolate syrup?
Yeah, it's seltzer and chocolate syrup, basically.
And chocolate syrup.
Yeah.
That's it.
And you can still get Katz's. Katz's still makes them.
Okay.
That's where
I
had mine.
There's a couple places downtown that I used to go to. You know what? You want to check out an interesting restaurant. It's called the... Motherfucker. I just forgot the damn name.
That's what it's called?
Yeah,
that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough.
Motherfucker, I forgot the damn name.
Come on, let's go on down to the motherfucker, I forgot the damn name, and get us something to eat.
It's called the Pearl Street Diner. You should look it up. It's an interesting story. It's kind of a, you know, divey Greek. To be funny, the guy who owns it is Greek. I have to be honest with you. I don't know that I've ever been to a diner in New York that a Greek that wasn't didn't have a Greek owner.
Okay.
But I want to say something real quick about the bagels, Bob. I got lucky because I think I said I was going to go there and buy them myself a half dozen and then send them using my own my vacuum sealer like when I sent them to you. But I had things in storage. So Katz's or the place that you buy them from on Katz's online had a special buy one dozen, get one free.
Oh, nice.
So it was 24. I sent 24 bagels plus I think it was a pound of the I think Shan asked for.
Yeah, the lox cream cheese.
I hate to ask it. Is Shan a he or a she? I just don't know.
I honestly I have not inquired as to gender, and I try not to make that mistake.
Well, I just want to ask. But when I refer to the person, I want to refer to the person correctly. Want to say it again?
They say.
Okay.
They don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Okay.
That part.
Okay.
True.
Okay. Hey, Tracy, you know what? I want to tell you something.
Yes, baby.
I hear you talk about, you know, the depression issues, and I'm going to just tell you, I've been there, done that, so if...
Got a t-shirt, too?
Oh, honey, I don't have a t-shirt. I've got a whole wardrobe. I tell people, I said, I don't have issues. I've got subscriptions. So.
Wow. That's good. That's
worth it. That's worth a tattoo, you know?
Yes. And you know, I'm going to self-impose a cowbell moratorium on myself because I think I've gotten a couple cheap ones lately. So I'm imposing a moratorium, Bob. So no cowbells. You know, if I come up with something cowbell worthy, I'm going to rely on you to remember that I have an imposed.
Because you don't want us to run into a cowbell shortage for other members of the community. That's very kind. That's very kind of giving.
Be overridden that veto.
Yeah, you were a little too generous on a couple that I got, and I was like, I shouldn't have. let me ask you. I'm going to ask people what they thought. And then I'm going to shut up for a while because I'm talking too much, and I want to defer to the young lady from California, aka Tracy, on the phone. I didn't watch the pageant last night, but I heard one thing I didn't that concerned me a little bit was his quotation about fossil fuels, oil. What I'm hoping is, first of all, I want to hear what people think about it. Because my understanding is that the Trump campaign already cut an ad and it's online.
Oh yeah.
What I'm hoping is that, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I don't know how long it's been since I've seen a Democrat have this kind of cash advantage over a Republican. I mean, Biden will have raised $1 billion in 3 months. Over a billion.
Is it that much?
Is that raised, it was, what was it, 384 in last month, and before that it was 360-something. So that's, and if he raises another 300
he has
plus,
like a 3 or 2 to 1 advantage as far, over Trump as far as the amount.
He's got like 160 million cash on hand that we know of. We haven't seen the report for what month are we? October. I think
got
that
100 million.
Well, no, I just got his campaign thing. They want to raise 100 million more for October. I think what we're going to end up seeing is he will have raised over $1 billion.
Can some of the people who aren't working get some of that money?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
No, but if we can get him into the White House, Tracy, and get a Democratic majority in the Senate, we can start sending out checks.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that.
Joe Biden has the advantage that he doesn't have a lot of campaign workers siphoning money out of the campaign account to pad their own pockets.
Yeah. Or he doesn't have a campaign manager buying Lamborghinis.
Yes. Ferraris.
Biden, we want to minimize the grift. That's
his God.
Ferraris.
No, Lamborghinis
are tacky.
You got to figure, if starting out low these many years ago, Trump had to hire out-of-work actors to populate the lobby as he came down the golden escalator. How much money is he pissing away getting campaign workers? You know?
I mean...
Yeah, he's not getting people that, you know, going to like, you know, they might volunteer, but nothing to the extent of Democrats. I was going to volunteer myself, but I'm like, no, I just...
The average Trump supporter, Tracy, I don't think has a volunteer spirit. They don't have the volunteer gene. I mean...
They have been going to other places, Scott, right? They've been hanging out, loitering around. Well, somebody set a ballot box on fire.
Oh, God.
In Baldwin Park.
Yeah, I heard about that. Jesus.
You heard about Jesus? Wait,
he voted? Well, no. Jesus didn't do it. Jesus don't use...
I heard about that Jesus, too. Yeah. Don't turn your
if
back on him.
If he wants to bring down a bolt of lightning, he don't need no Bic lighter or Zippo, you know?
Do they still make Zippos?
Yeah, they do.
Most definitely. Hey, I got to share a couple of emails. Hang on.
Sorry, man.
That's okay. By the way, thank you very kindly to Jeremy in Vermont and to Jack in Shreveport. Hallelujah. Horniversary, hallelujah. Joey and Giraffe's challenge was met. So I get to spend the next hour and 18 minutes not talking about fundraising. Hallelujah, glory, amen. By the way, a note from Glenn in San Diego to Billable Rick. Could you please make it to the Beach Boys concert this weekend? Mike Love needs to go.
Okay, you have a task. Clarification
to the note. Beach Boys' Brian Wilson is livid that the group he founded is playing a Trump fundraiser in Newport Beach.
That's horrible.
Well, Bloomberg committed to spending $100 million on behalf of Biden in Florida, so add that into the big pot.
Nice.
But I think Bob addressed the fossil fuel issue at the very beginning of his show, didn't he? Kind of, the context was eventually we have to get away from...
No, that's true, but that doesn't mean anything. There's a clip. I just don't want him to be Hillary'd. I think he has so much money that he can run ads in Pennsylvania to clarify it.
I think all the people are going to vote for Trump anyway. Even if Biden said, I'm going to not touch fracking whatsoever, I think they'd still vote for Trump.
Yeah, but you also have to take into account, see, it's that same number. 70% of the American people want Roe v. Wade left the hell alone. 70% of the American people want the Affordable Care Act left the hell alone. And
is that the basilisk? That's what it was. It's a basilisk. Bob, you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. I thought maybe that snake was actually a baby basilisk, and that's what happened.
And the same 70% of America knows that climate change is freaking real. So they're not going to be all... he can make those ads, but they're only going to work on morons. Okay? Otherwise known as maggots. Well,
and not only that, you know, this thing about a simple example of misspeaking or not speaking completely, it's the ducks on a June bug principle with these people. There is so much fucking flop sweat and desperation in the Trump campaign because they're really up against it. And, you know, like the noted philosopher Red Fox said, when you can read the handwriting on the wall, you're in the toilet. And these poor bastards are simply out of their depth. The man obviously can't run on his record, so they're going to latch on to even a tiny error in speech. You know, and it's the biblical reference for all you Bible thumpers out there is, I believe Jesus talked about noticing with great interest the speck in your brother's eye, but ignoring the log in your own. Can I get an amen? I'm no fucking Bible scholar, but I remember that much.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that the dynamic, bugs on a June bug and desperation and flop sweat? I mean, isn't that where we are with those people?
Yeah, but see, they're still going to try to do everything they can to cheat their way back into the White House.
Oh, I know. I know.
They got the power. That's the thing. They got the power. Problem.
And voter suppression is real, y'all.
I know.
That reminds me of an 80s song. We got power. We got the power.
Don't do it. Stop it.
I will. Okay, Tracy.
Hey, Tracy, who was that? Was that CNC Music Factory?
I got the power, yeah.
Yeah.
They're still using it on a commercial, but I forget what the product is.
Probably a vitamin or a car or gas, something.
Some kind of drug, right?
Probably.
Erectile dysfunction drug.
Erectile dysfunction drug.
You don't see too many of those anymore.
Yeah, what happened to all those? Not that I care.
All I see is a bunch of ads for drugs. I have no idea what they're good for or what they're
That's the latest one, Sparky. Have you noticed that all these new commercials will talk about these new drugs, but they don't tell you what the drug is for?
You want me to explain why?
It just tell you the side effects.
Yeah, they just say the side effects.
I had a doctor one time say to me, and I said to the doctor, I said, which drug is like, there's all kinds of drugs. I don't remember what I'd asked, the specific ailment I asked about. I said, which drug is best for X? And he goes, whichever one is the last commercial that the person asking me saw.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, they want people to go to their doctor and say, hey, what is that one that makes that person who's got cancer be able to, like, jump off of a, 50-story building and land on their feet? Which one is that? Because let me take that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do we have any people today on the front porch who are connected with the medical field, like nurses, doctors, interns, whatever?
You want me to go get Agnes?
Okay, well, Agnes would know this. And I don't know whether it's an urban legend or whether it's true, but apparently for people who make repeat visits to doctors and there's not a thing wrong with them, at one point doctors would write them a prescription for the word placebo backwards. And the pharmacists would know that was doctor code for give them sugar pills or placebos, obviously.
Yeah.
Was that a true thing? Ask Agnes. I want to know. Since we're talking about
While Bob's out getting Agnes, I came across that Biden campaign and associated committees have raised $1,375,000,000 and has $233 million cash on hand. And that came from opensecrets.org, which is usually a pretty good source.
Pretty good. For 11 days. He's got $233 million for 11 days.
Well, but it makes one wonder. It makes one wonder where these five times match if you donate to Mitch McConnell, or three times match if you donate to some other candidate, where these five times and three times matches are coming from.
Do you guys think that the living fossils like Shelley Adelson and Foster Freeze are going to...
Don't forget Steve Wynn. They took the Trump campaign, Chris, took a shit ton from Steve Wynn, even though he's a sexual predator and a perv.
Yeah. Well, birds of a feather.
That part. My question is, are they spending any of these monies to any of the money in places to make sure that people are voting down the down ticket and stuff like that? Or is it just on him?
Well, they better.
I hope so. It's, you know, in states where we can get, you know, where we can maybe get a Senate seat, you know, or so. That, some more congressional seats, you know. Just
Georgia,
saying.
We could get two.
Exactly.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
Oh, that
yeah, I mean, you know, the betting money right now is that the Democrats are going to get like a net of four seats in the Senate to make it a 51-49 margin. But it should be nice to, like, get something like Kansas is even in play here. Montana is in play. Maybe even Alaska. You know, Iowa's included in the net four. The gains, the gains are in
In Martha McSally, Cory Gardner, Joni Hogdeballer Ernst, and Susan Collins. That's the four.
Susan Collins.
Tillis. Don't forget Tillis.
Yeah, well, and Tillis, that's five. And then we lose Doug Jones. For a net four.
But wouldn't it be a happy golden day if both we got rid of McConnell and Lindsey? And
Precious Lindsey and Susan Collins.
Susan Collins!
See them all go away.
Susan Collins! Get that bitch a throat drop or something. Jesus.
She may be that Mongolian throat singer who signed the Balfour Declaration and the Great Barrington Reef. That may be who did that from the other night.
Well, what happened there?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Steve.
Did you see, I actually looked at that Barrington, I think I sent it, I just don't remember what I sent or what I dreamed about sending. I went to that Barrington thing.
The Great
Anybody
Barrington
can
Reef.
Sign that petition.
Right. Sure.
You just have to specify if you're a doctor or a medical provider. There's no verification.
I know for a fact that Seymour Heine signed just the other day.
Okay. How do you know for a fact?
Ask me no questions. I'll tell you no lies, Steve.
Okay. Okay. Hey, man. I get it. I read between those lines.
What are you guys talking about?
It's this wackadoodle petition that was cited by, who was it, the story the other day? Arguing for herd immunity and to just let the COVID burn.
Are you fucking kidding me?
The Great Barrington petition. You can look it up, Tracy.
I think not. There's only so much that my brain can take in.
Only so much crazy white people shit you can stand.
You know what? If it wasn't, I am so thankful to God that I'm an Africana studies major, and that's all I'm taking in school. I am.
And aren't you glad that you got a bunch of white folks friends who can explain crazy white people to you?
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to convince one of my professors who is this crazy white woman. Who has her PhD in African American studies.
Yeah, she sounds like an awesome person.
Oh, she's amazing. I'm going to try to convince her to come on the show one day, and you guys can have a conversation about white people and how
mayonnaise
and
unseasoned potato salad and raisins in the rice and
Lowry's.
No, white people don't know about no Lowry's. Just kidding.
Oh, and by the way, there will be some Horniversary cooking going on. I figured there's no better time. So tomorrow, one, I'm pissed off at Lowe's because it's still warm weather out, and they got nothing but charcoal briquettes. No lump charcoal whatsoever ever to be found. What the fuck are you people thinking? But I got a little bit of lump charcoal left. So this weekend, pork butts and brisket.
Nice.
And part of the brisket is going to be used for my original amazing chili.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah, because chili made with brisket is so much better than chili made with ground beef.
I made chili once with stew meat, and it was amazing. It was so good.
Yeah, as long as if you can get it tender, that's what. Yeah, that's.
Yeah,
what.
Yeah, it was. I cooked it long and low and slow.
Low and slow, yeah. Right now the brisket and the butts are separately in food grade plastic buckets, brining with a lovely variety of crushed chili peppers and garlic and cumin and chili powder and all kinds of wonderful flavorings. It'll carry it all the way into the meat, and then it'll get smoked. And I told my buddy. My buddy Lewis from over, he was on the program from over at Secret Sandwich Society. You know, he's the one that got he's the one who got the ball rolling and actually nominated me as a write-in for West Virginia's Best Media Personality.
Nice!
And, you know, I don't know if you heard the other night, but I made second runner-up.
The fuck out
because
of
this community and the Secret Sandwich Society, Friends of Lewis community, all banded together and voted every day and got me to basically what works out to the bronze medal. And I'm just thrilled to pieces. So I told him, you know, we're post-bridge day, and his crew has worked their asses off all through this damn pandemic. And so I told him I'd bring over a shift meal of some pulled pork and some brisket for Sunday.
Well,
as my way of saying thank you.
Well, my wife, my Jewish wife, we had chicken noodles and matzo ball soup. And yes, matzo balls made from scratch.
Sounds yummy. Great, Tracy.
It was so good.
I love that.
You know, we fight over who makes the better broth. I still think I do, but you know, I gotta give the white woman a little something.
Come on, it's matzo ball soup. You gotta give the Jewish lady the inside track on that. Yeah.
I gave her the, and it was delicious. We used egg noodles for the noodles, and I told her to keep them separate.
Has she ever made you kugel?
No. We've had, she's made blintzes and
potato pancakes?
Potato pancakes, yes. But never what you just said.
You'll have to ask
her. Has she made you latkes?
That is potato pancakes.
No, that's not potato pancakes. They're not potato pancakes. There's a difference.
There is a difference between latkes and potato pancakes, but I've had them.
Yeah. I had it. My old roommate made latkes, and he used truffle oil. He basted it. He brushed truffle oil and, like, finished them off. And oh, my God.
Oh, that's just snooty.
Oh, well, snooty or whatever, it was still fucking good.
That's only because I...
Well, Steve, what was the deal? Did he have a squeaky truffle that he needed a little can of truffle 3-in-1 oil to put on?
Yes, that's absolutely what it was. He had a truffle press.
Oh, my.
You people, I swear to Jesus. So, you know what, Scott? How have you been? Because I the last couple of times I did come onto the front porch, you weren't around. And I was afraid to say, you know, because I don't want to be like, you know, billable Rick and say somebody's name and then they die. So.
Did you say my name?
Yes.
Oh, I'm around. Do you follow me on Facebook?
No, honey. I
and there I was thinking you were an oblong.
Scott, do you see dead people, Scott?
Only when the Trump supporters come knocking on my door wanting me to give till it hurts.
Zombies, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of dead people, I made the Tom Petty server go down. I tried to see if I could see the ship.
Oh, and extra special treat. Apparently, David in South Carolina, Stan, told me a little bit ago that apparently Patterson Hood's going to be involved with that, too, from his home in Portland.
Oh, cool.
How about Bob Dylan? They did a lot together.
Do you guys in Portland realize how lucky you are that you have an actual no-kidding drive-by trucker living in Portland now?
Absolutely.
I have no idea who you guys are talking about. That's somebody
I saw them
really white.
In Chicago one time, long time ago.
Well, to let you know just definitively, Tracy, I am upright and above ground, and I plan to remain that way.
I will hope so.
Until I'm 89. Until I'm 89. And you know why 89 is a big number?
Why?
When I was a kid, you know where the Trump Hotel is in Washington? That used to be the old
post office building. Let's just put it that way.
I would get on the ABNW bus. This was before Metro. And ride over to 12th and Pennsylvania to a place called Al's Magic Shop. I used to do magic as a kid. And one day I went over there and there was a sign, palm reading, 50 cents upstairs. So I had 50 extra cents and I went upstairs. And the lady read my palm and she told me three things. I forget one of the things. The other thing was that I was expecting an important piece of mail, which I was. And the third thing was I would live to be 89.
Okay.
And so, and you've got me till then. Now, as to what you do with me, well, that's anybody's guess. Give me two placebos and call me in the morning. So, anyway, how are you?
And Agnes says that was a thing.
I'm doing okay. I'm doing better. My mom surprised me a couple of weeks ago with a visit. She did the Children's World Tour. She started off in Georgia with my brother Solomon, and got to see her great grandson, who is the most beautiful baby in the world. Then she flew from Georgia to here in LA and spent time with me and then my baby brother that lives out here too. And then she flew up to Portland to visit with my sister and my niece who got married. My mother officiated the ceremony. So my niece, she got her, I don't know what it is about the women in my family and white people, because she married her a white boy.
Well, some of us are good people.
Hey, Tracy, I gotta interrupt for a minute. I'm gonna tell a story on myself. A few minutes ago, I snuck away from the while y'all were talking. I was so taken with that chocolate lollipop. I got one out of the box and snuck away from the studio and carried it in and gave it to Agnes and said, "You have to unwrap this and try it now." And I just hollered and said, "Are you having your chocolate lollipop?" And she said, "Oh my God, yes." And I said, "Are we going to fight each other for the rest of the chocolate ones?" She said, "You're going to lose."
Nice. Well, See's Candy. You know, I've been going to See's Candy since I was a little girl. And you know how things, quality changes over, you know, the years. Nothing's as good as it used to be. I have to say, See's Candy still as good as it used to be.
You just find these wonderful things out there. I mean, I'm still not over those wonderful Cuban pastries.
Oh my. Speaking of which, I think I'm going to, when I get a little extra coinage, they just came out with a new pastry.
Ooh.
It's a croissant.
Oh.
With little chocolate chips in it.
Ooh.
And you make a sugar water bath. You spread that over it, and then you bake it. First of all, you have to take up when they get sent to you because they're frozen. But when you want to eat them, you have to take them out the night before so they can defrost and rot you up a little. And then you bake them, and they're the stuff will melt in your mouth. It is so good. Yeah. And we just ordered, we got some of those, and then we ordered, that got some new ones. What did I send you? I sent you the meat pies and the guava cheese.
Yes, the guava cream cheese, oh my God thing.
Right. Well, they have these potato balls. It's the potato and ground beef. But for the holidays, they make it the same potato ball with mashed potatoes and gravy and turkey.
Ooh, wow.
So Jan ordered those. We got them the other day, so I'll let you know how they taste.
Well, would you get them locally, or where do you get them?
Yeah, it's a bakery out here called, it's a Cuban bakery restaurant called Portos. Rick, have you heard of them? Have you ever been to Portos? And there's Kimba.
Kimba likes Portos.
She was so excited, you know. It's called Portos. And when you go there, there's always a line. And I haven't been since the pandemic. But but you can order some of the pastries and they'll deliver here. I sent some to, I think it only cost me like $5 to have them delivered because we're local. But I think when I sent them, it wasn't that bad. I think I paid $20 to have them shipped to Bob and Agnes. Did I do that for your anniversary?
It was some moment.
Hey, Bash.
And they were magic. They were just magic.
Didn't you bite into one before it got cooled off good enough, though?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I blistered the inside of my mouth. I blistered the roof of my mouth.
10,000 viewers so far on the website. It temporarily went down.
Did you break the website, Rick?
Yeah. Huh? He killed Tom Petty's website.
It wasn't enough to take out Tom Petty. Now he's gone after the website. Dadgummit, Rick.
Back up, guys. Sorry. I can't claim credit.
I got a question for you, Tracy, from Ron and Raleigh.
Uh-oh.
Ask Tracy how she feels about 50 Cent and Ice Cube endorsing Trump.
Oh,
along with
what the fuck, Tracy?
Okay. So, I actually we had
Ice Cube didn't indict.
Yes. He did.
I was going to say, Ice Cube did not say he's for Trump. All he said is he's going to work for either the campaign that worked with him. 50 Cent said
that's an endorsement. I'm sorry. No. That's why you know what this man is doing to this country, especially to people that look like you. How the fuck are you eating? And this is, we're talking, this is Ice Cube, NWA, fuck the police, Ice Cube. What in the... See, we were talking about people like him. There's different, when you talk about the liberation of black people as far as black psychology is concerned, there's different categories. There's the non-struggler, the reactive struggler, the opportunistic struggler, the partial struggler, and the authentic struggler. Each of these have very, you know, and the fluidity of it. Each of them have, you know, the non-struggler is somebody like Clarence Thomas, somebody who is, let's see, what did he say? Oh, yeah, he is coldly complicit with the oppressor. it's all about his survival. He feels that there's no need for the struggle. In other words, there's no such thing as racism. He blames what's happening to the oppressed on the oppressed, you know. If I can do it, why can't you, kind of thing. And so it's like, it, you know.
Like Herman Cain, too, right?
Yeah, Herman Cain, Candace Owens, you know, people like that who are like, oh, no, you guys, all this racism stuff is in your heads. you know, you guys are just, you know, as Bob would say, they're waiting for everything is great as long as the check clears. And so what we've decided that Ice Cube is that I don't give a fuck about 50 Cent, but we're calling him the opportunistic struggler. He's one of these people who you think they know the walk, they walk the walk, you think they talk the talk, but they're not for the struggle for the people. They're for, you know, they're just posers. They're, you know, they know the words and phrases. They want to, you know, but we don't hold them accountable. That's the problem. Black folks don't hold them accountable for their bullshit. But right now, because I read that, because I didn't know what was going on. And then I heard about it. And when Ice, you know what they call Ice Cube? Who's seen, what was that movie, Die Hard? Remember that the asshole financial guy, the one that thinks that he can talk John McClane down or whatever? And, you know, and he's just talking and everybody's like, he's not. So that's his name on the movie was Ellis. That's what some black people are calling Ice Cube. He's
Ellis.
Well, okay, so that takes care of Ice Cube and 50 Cent. But I have to answer for the third part of this question.
Uh-oh.
How about Johnny Rotten?
What? Is he for Trump? You got to be fucking kidding me, Bob.
Wait a minute.
Sex Pistols?
Yeah, isn't that Johnny Rotten.
Rocker?
Jesus Christ. And how old is he?
Well, you got me on that one, frankly, but
older than you, I assume.
Yeah. Let's see.
Well older, right? And he's for Trump?
Yeah, I'm looking up the story now. That Ron sent it to me a few nights ago. I was like, "No." John Lydon, John Joseph Lydon.
That hurts us.
It hurts us badly. Headline, Sex Pistols' Johnny Rotten says Trump is the only sensible choice in 2020 election.
What's he not smoking anymore or taking?
The check cleared.
Yeah,
so much for Ron and Raleigh said the other night when he sent it to me the first time, so much for anarchy in the UK.
Yeah. You flush that right down the toilet.
I mean, it's all about...
Interviewed by the UK's The Guardian this past Sunday, he said he was supporting Donald Trump. "I'd be daft as a brush not to," he said.
God.
"He's the only sensible choice now that Biden is up. He's incapable of being the man at the helm." He's 74 years old.
Wow.
When asked if he was definitely voting for Trump, 74, Rotten cried out, "Oh, I am!" and showed off his MAGA cap.
Certainly, even Johnny Rotten has caring relatives who will take him gently by the hand to the home.
Well, he's very rotten.
Wow.
Rotten kids better round up their daddy and carry him on down to the home for regrooving. Jesus.
The last I saw the headlines with him was that he was complaining about homeless people on his property. He has kind of a large property.
Get off my lawn, huh? Yeah.
Say again?
Get off my lawn!
We gotta say with a British accent.
Get off my lawn! Is that better? Is that better?
Close enough. Yeah, that works. What the fuck? See, this is
that gives rise to another. This is the story of Johnny Rotten. All his roots he has forgotten.
That's true.
Sorry, yeah, that's my terrible Neil Young.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible.
Yeah, I didn't really give it much thought. It can be better, but not on the fly like that.
No, you have to work up to that one. But wow, see, you know, I didn't know about 50 Cent, but 50 Cent's been a sellout since he came out of his mommy's tool. Since I'm sorry, what was
so? What category would he be, Tracy? 50 Cent.
He would be, again, is an opportunistic individual because these people are using the platform to talk. Like, it's like, you know, like how I joke about being the spokesperson for the, you know, everybody black. See, yeah. But these people actually
really are
thinking that they are.
Yeah. Okay.
Hence they're opportunistic. They're sellouts. I was never a fan of NWA or, you know, of Ice Cube as far as his music was concerned, but I got the anger. I understood where it came from. And for him to even talk about, it's like they want a seat at the table. They, again, no matter how much, and this is what I try to, you know, press upon people like that. They may give you a seat at the table, but motherfucker, you're going through the back door. Because when all is said and done, you're still black. And that's the thing. You are still black, and you will always forever remain black. And no matter how much they smile and grin in your face, they don't give a fuck about you. They're just using you for a photo
op. Now, did you see what happened? Now, Tracy, did you see what happened after Eric the Dumber photoshopped a MAGA hat onto both him and 50 Cent?
No.
Now, I'm going to use the word with an A, not an ER on the end, because it's exactly what Ice Cube tweeted Eric Trump with the picture again and tweeted simply, "Nigga, please."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it was just this awful Photoshop of him and 50 Cent sitting together with MAGA hats on.
Well, you know what?
So James in Illinois is saying, basically, Donnie, he said he'd work with whoever's in power, but what it amounts to is that Donnie managed to use him. He looked like he didn't have a clue that there was an election going on.
Right. It's like, work with whoever's in
really?
Power.
Really?
What, I mean, if you guys go to, if you get a chance, the interview that he did in Rolling Stone magazine, you're going to read it and be like, oh, Q, baby, you just got player. You know, you forgot where you came from. You forgot your roots. You got a couple of dollars in your pocket and think that, you know.
Started feeling all pale.
Mm-hmm. You'd be thinking you white. And it's like, no, again, it's like even in my worst times of wishing, you know, growing up and having, you know, no value feeling as a black person because I didn't have any strong, you know, powerful examples for black women or, you know, or any in the media or anything like that. And the only thing I saw was white people. And I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be Shirley Temple. I wanted to be Ginger Rogers. You know, I didn't want to be Butterfly McQueen. I didn't want to be Hattie McDaniel because those are basically the only people that I saw on in the movies and stuff. And so, you know, at my lowest of, you know, self-loathing as a black person because of, you know, how white supremacy makes anybody that's not white feel, never, ever, 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 ever would I have ever become thought about or voting or being a Republican or voting Republican or anything like that. Never in a million years.
Oh, and I got it wrong. Mr. Rotten, this from the Corrections Department, otherwise known as Ron and Raleigh, Mr. Rotten is 64, not 74.
Oh,
we regret the error. And then P.S., add another to the list with that no-talent Kanye. Ron does not think much of Mr. Kanye.
No. Kanye West is, and my cousin was, when he was doing those tours, my cousin was singing in his choir. And I'm like, and he tried to get me to go to one of the concerts. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry. Even if it is free, that's still tacitly supporting Kanye West. Thank you. I'm like, no. I love you.
Not happening.
Because Kanye West has mental health issues. Kanye West was problematic before his mother died, but at least she kind of kept his ass in check. And once his mother died, it was game over. And now he's, sucked in with the Kardashians, another group of useless people. How are they? This is what's wrong. It's like we live in a country that people are famous for doing nothing. What are the Kardashians good for?
Reality TV, isn't that a product of that?
Yeah. You think? It is depressing that, truly talented and amazing people have to struggle to get, to even try to get noticed. And these people, the only thing that, they about who they marry is just,
Or who their mommy and daddy are.
Right.
Ugh. Bruce Jenner, right?
Well,
not Bruce anymore.
No, Caitlin. What's Caitlin. Her name? What's her name?
Caitlin. Sorry. Caitlin. I regret the error.
Caitlin.
Is he still a Republican or did he denounce his Republican? She. Did she denounce her Republicanism?
I don't know. The last I heard, she hadn't,
And she said she's voting for Biden. That made headlines.
She is voting for Biden?
Yeah, people said that because Bruce Jenner is a Republican, or is known as a Republican, so that's why people are shocked, yes. But she said Biden.
Good.
I'm terrified. I haven't asked my, because, my brother-in-law is a Trumper. And it's like, I shudder to think if he's going to vote for him again.
One of the dynamic that you're talking about people reaching, the top in their industry or somewhere approaching the top in their industry, anybody who is a person of decency, they know the first rule of success. Once you get to that level, the last thing you do is pull the ladder up behind you.
Exactly.
Because there's always somebody Uncle coming Clarence. Behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always somebody coming behind who may be inspired by your success, and you've got to give them an example and a hand, for Christ's sake. And see, that's somebody's been drinking Flavor Aid, a heavily laced Flavor Aid or something, because, that ain't right,
I mean, remember Kanye West went after George Bush after Katrina?
Okay. Oh, yeah. He doesn't like black people. Isn't that what he said?
Yes. That is what he said. That George Bush don't give a fuck about black people. And now, at least George Bush kind of tried to pretend. But we got this fool up in there. It's like, he don't even try to pretend. He had the nerve. He had the gall to fix his mouth to say that he's the least racist. Did he or did he not?
In that room.
The designation least racist means you're still racist.
You're still racist. Oh.
Point, Scott. Yeah.
Well, think about it.
Did you guys see that advertisement that was out maybe a couple weeks ago? I was watching Monday Night Football with my dad, and a Trump commercial came on, and the last image was a black woman who said, "I know that Trump cares about people like me."
I've seen that commercial.
You saw that?
I nearly
fell out of my chair.
Well, there's one out here that they show where there's a woman and she looks like she could probably be Latinx. Or, I call it racially ambiguous, but she's definitely not white. And she's, holding up signs saying, she's not speaking because she's saying,
Doing the Bob Dylan trip. with the, mm-hmm. singing the song with the lyrics on the cards that he's flipping.
Right.
You remember that?
No, years I don't, ago. But okay.
Well, you're... Never mind.
I don't remember that.
But... What song was that? There's a famous Dylan song where it's like a music video where he's lip-syncing the song and he's got big cards that have the lyrics and he's flipping them as he's singing them.
I don't remember that, Scott.
Well, now listen, I know I did a lot of drugs as in my wayward youth, but I didn't do that many drugs. I'll find the link. Anyway, go ahead.
Remember, it's not like I'm not a musical aficionado like you guys are, and Dylan is not one of the people that I go, ooh, Bob Dylan. I know. I hang out with white
people
to a certain degree, but it's like this.
Yeah, there is a line, right?
There's a line.
Subterranean now, homesick blues, y'all.
Okay.
You know, my son.
Thank you.
Now, he listens to Woody Guthrie, Bob Dylan, a whole bunch of stuff that I'm like, how did that happen? But again, you know, he is half white, but all of him lives with me. But no, he has. I mean, some of the stuff, when I walk by his room and he's listening to this stuff, and I'm like, where did you come from? I mean, but at least he's listening to good music. I mean, like I said, I'm no Bob Dylan fan, but at least he listens to people like Bob Dylan.
Well, if he listens to Woody Guthrie, he should throw on some Lead Belly, too.
No, he does Lead Belly. Pretty much anybody along that vein, he... No,
man, I was listening the other night, and I heard, an ancient version of Stagger Lee.
Cool.
By
Johnny Lee Hooker.
No, it wasn't John Lee Hooker, and it wasn't Muddy. Now I gotta look. Sorry, that's cheating.
See,
Chuck Berry.
Are you sucking on the? All right. Bob, how many lollipops?
Only one. Only one.
When did you get them? When did they arrive?
Late last week, I think.
Okay, so it took about a week, I guess.
And I've been, I'm trying not to just go hog ass wild on them. But that, you know. The butter that was running out of the butterscotch ones, and they're awesome, but the mm-hmm. chocolate one has changed my life. And by the way, Jug of Punch, our buddy Thomas was telling me that See's Candies has been on Warren Buffett's list of favorite stocks for eons.
Really?
Yeah.
Lloyd Price, Bob?
No.
Taj Mahal?
No. Cover of that? No, that's way too.
Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
I saw Taj Mahal in California.
Mississippi John Hurt. Mississippi John Hurt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Way back.
Yeah.
Way back. Speaking of way back, I had to do analysis of a poem written by Sonia Sanchez about Billie Holiday. And it was such a moving poem. And I was just like, that woman, you know, I think about, you know, like what Joe Biden was talking about yesterday about the criminal and justice system and how the crime bill was a huge mistake. And how you shouldn't criminalize, you know, drug people who are addicts. And I just think it made me instantly think of Billie Holiday. And
yeah,
what she had to go through.
Handcuffed to a hospital bed as she died.
Yes.
Do you know here in Oregon that we're about to legalize mushrooms?
Oh,
that's
shit.
On the ballot. Yeah.
Oh, that'll be great when Ammon Bundy gets him, ammonium nitrate Bundy gets him a snoot full.
Only under medical prescription.
Is that right?
They're going to
psilocybin therapy for things like psilocybin mushrooms for things like PTSD and other And the other ad is for end of life, dealing with the end of life.
Hey, Roger, I got to tell you, I told Agnes that the tuna is on the way.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'll just take a jar and hide in a corner somewhere with a fork.
Well, then you're going to lose. You're going to lose her three times because there's three different flavors.
Shh.
I'm telling Agnes.
But oh my God! I mean, she adores it because last time she had the Aji Amarillo, and I imagine she'll probably leap right on that.
Well, I had some of the fermented pepper sauce on my lunch today. And it's not super hot, but it's got a little bit of a bite to it.
Oh, I can't wait to try that.
That's just jalapenos and pepperoncinis and salt.
And you just let it ferment. And, yeah, because we talked about it that one night. You kind of let it work like kraut, right?
Yeah.
How long did you let it work, Roger?
Huh?
How long did it work?
Oh, shit, I don't know. I build it, and I just keep my eye on it. And when it quit being super active, I took a quart jar and with its lid on it, the breathe, well, it lets the air out but won't let oxygen back in. It's sort of a silicon top to the mason jar that looks like a
kind of like an airlock
bottle nipple on it,
yeah,
so that the air can get out, but it doesn't let the oxygen back in. And I just took that and stuck it in the fridge. It's been in the fridge for at least a month. And since it stopped being super active, and then I just put it in a baggie and put it in a Ziploc. So if it expands any, which it shouldn't, but it may, that it wouldn't leak all over everything, and used it as padding in the jar, in the box.
I'm stoked.
Sounds good.
And then be careful of that. I think that blackberry raspberry jam is the one that's too solid. I mean, it's almost soft candy consistency. So you might want to zap it in the microwave or something of that sort to let it.
No, she'll probably get a spoon and hide in the corner. She'll probably get a spoon and hide in the corner with that too.
Well, then there's a spiced peach, and let's see, what else is in there? There's a pepper jelly that's made with pepperoncini and jalapenos, both green and red. And then there's the dried jalapenos, which were just fresh jalapenos sliced and run through the dehydrator. And then the spiced peach is spiced with cinnamon and nutmeg.
All these jams or...
Yeah, the spiced peach and raspberry blackberry and the pepper jelly are all jam-type things. And then tomorrow we're going to mix up several batches of a green tomato marmalade,
ooh,
which has orange, lime, and green tomatoes in it.
Wow.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I need to send out a thank you to Scott in Wisconsin. Thank you, Scott, for jumping in. That's huge. We have made this quite the little horniversary, and so thank you very kindly, Scott. I can't express enough gratitude. Onward into the next 15 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
On a different note, if anybody wants to save this and watch it later, it's our friendly Tiny Hands going totally off the rails in Florida at his rally. And he's even talking about how the senator from Hawaii, because she supports the Green New Deal, has suggested building a bridge from California to Hawaii. So save it off and watch it for a little comedy at the end of the program. Because
he pantomimed
him standing in front of the rally. This is not the Onion, folks. It's not the Onion.
He also pantomimed ripping his jacket off to show his Superman shirt.
Well, I missed that part of it.
Oh, and I sent Bob a text message the other day. I think it was either last night or this morning about why no one told me about Beijing Berry. Like I said, I've been kind of living in a cocoon, but my God, that was scorched earth. If Barack Obama had a secret bank account in China during his reelection in 2012, my God, the shit storm. We would still be walking. We would have to have waiters now still for the shit that would have gone down about that. But no,
like you said, they would have called him Beijing Barry.
Yes, Lord Jesus, they would have called him Beijing Barry. I'm just. The hypocrisy of these people.
Oh, they're shameless. Yeah.
And Trump kept going after Joe last night about this, all the money that Joe's gotten. And I just wish once he would say, what about your fucking ass and your fucking family?
Yeah.
That part.
Fucking Ivanka, how many sweetheart Chinese deals did she get right off the bat?
I think it was something like 73 patents that included one voting machines and two coffins.
Yeah, caskets and voting machines.
Nice.
Did you hear him hear Trump say that we have more cases because we do more testing once again?
Oh, of course, yeah. But of course, Lou, the funny thing about that is that we don't have more testing. Testing is down dramatically, especially in maggot states like Florida and Missouri.
Someone really needs to shake him up and explain that to him.
You can't explain anything to him, Lou.
No, I mean, it's like talking to a toddler. But a toddler actually can understand what you're saying and make sense of it.
He's more like a special needs dung beetle.
Well, I like that. That's a cowbell.
Thank you.
If we would outlaw pregnancy test kits, we wouldn't need abortions because nobody would be getting pregnant.
Precisely, Roger. I think, by Jove, I think he's got it.
And he keeps claiming he was BSing or being joking around when he talked about injecting whatever, Lysol into your veins, whatever.
He wasn't joking.
Not at all.
Wait, Steve, did I hear Steve's voice?
Blob, what's shaking, brother?
What do you know, brother?
Not too much, man.
You're way too quiet lately.
Hey, Tracy, how are you, hon?
Hey, baby cakes, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. Just rolling with the punches.
Wait a minute, you sound like I feel. What's going on?
I had a surgical procedure Wednesday, and I'm still a little fuzzy over that. I'm doing good, man.
What'd they do to you this time?
I'd rather not get too far in the weeds, Blob.
Okay.
They just snipped a few ligaments. They had to rearrange some pressure points on my foot. But it was pretty intrusive.
Just don't let them part you out, Steve, okay?
Yeah, there you go. You want to buy a foot?
Yeah. I don't want to drive by your place in North Georgia and find you outside up on blocks.
Yeah. You get buy one, get one free on Wednesday. So there you go, man.
BOGO Steve.
Pogo scheme. Georgia, the only place where they advertise guns and pharmaceuticals at the same store.
I've seen the place. It is true.
Get your Prozac. Shoot your gun. Welcome to Georgia.
Guns, ammo, and Ambien. Party on, dude.
One-stop shopping. All you need.
Wow.
Crazy. It's insanity what we're living in.
How's your Senate races going? How are they looking
out? I've been telling everybody, the Reverend, second from the bottom, and that's statewide. I checked into this, did a deep dive. Because it's a special election, they have to list it by alphabetical order, by last name. So if you run anybody from Georgia, because they got like 10 people in there, just make it easy for them. Second from the bottom, the Rev, vote for them.
Okay.
Now, they are marked R and D, are they not, Steve?
Not sure, Bob. I think they are sectionalized like that. Yes, sir. I could look at it.
No, I mean, the whole thing's alphabetical, but I mean, it's like, you know, Leffler, R, Collins, R, Warnock, D.
Give me a minute and I'll look at it. I've got a picture.
Did you already vote?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You early voted. Okay, good.
Yeah. In fact, I hand-delivered it to the clerk of the court, and then there's kind of to make sure it was accepted.
And there's kind of there's an important news story out. Some survey work was done, and people are being told, vote now, vote as quickly as you can, waste not another moment, stand not on the order of your voting, but vote at once, because the fuck-ups over at the Postal Service, thanks Louis DeJoy, Agence France-Presse reports, mail service delays driven by Postmaster General Louis DeJoy's operational changes are continuing in key battleground states less than 2 weeks out from the November 3rd contest. Significant delays in Wisconsin, are we surprised, in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and other key states are intensifying existing fears that despite a slew of recent court orders requiring USPS to reverse the changes, DeJoy's sweeping and disruptive policy moves could still have a major impact on the high-stakes presidential election.
That doesn't surprise me a bit, Bob.
The Perry County, Pennsylvania Commissioner Brenda Watson said, we do encourage people who are worried about ballots not getting here on time to get them in as soon as possible.
Yeah, I just tracked mine.
Oh, and by the way, since we are we are running out of, there's a couple of stories out there that damned well need repeating. One, that maggot lickspittle attorney general in Kentucky, Stan, got slapped down by a judge trying to stop the Breonna Taylor juror from talking about the evidence presented to the grand jury. The judge said, nope. Fuck you. And so this juror is talking about the fact that they were never, ever, 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 ever told that they could accuse those three murderous cops of killing Breonna Taylor. They were never told it. It wasn't even a possibility. In other words, Attorney General Cameron tried to fix it and did for all intents and purposes.
Definitely.
The other thing though is that we finally found somebody named Hunter who is a dangerous criminal. A guy whose last name is Hunter has been charged with being one of the right-wing domestic terrorists who shot into the police precinct in Minneapolis back in May. And we now know that it was, in fact, the fucking Proud Boys and those other human garbage who did all of that violence. You know, Trump's and the Republicans running, Antifa. There's no Antifa association with any of that shit. It was the Proud Boys. And the, I'm not the Proud Boys. Course,
right?
It was the Boogaloo Boys. Because the guy that got busted claimed to be the leader of the South Texas chapter of the Boogaloo Boys and went all the way to Minnesota to try to create to try to be an agent provocateur and get black people killed for being accused of doing property damage and riot violence. It wasn't Black Lives Matter. It was not Antifa. By God, it was these right-wing, dirtbag, Trump-loving, pissant shitheads. And now just watch the for-profit media.
Black Panthers, Bob?
No, it was not the the new Black Panthers, oddly enough. How about that? But watch the for-profit media to see how many times that gets reported.
It won't.
Let's try and give Darlene a cure.
Oh, is Darlene here? Okay, hey, Darlene.
She's typing something.
I saw her come in earlier.
Bob, while we're waiting to answer your question, they are just willy-nilly.
There she is.
Darlene.
Cheers. Does not matter.
It's Darlene.
Hello.
Hey, Darlene.
Hello.
Hello.
Somebody trying to call me or something? Okay. Okay.
Class.
Bueller.
Okay, here we go. I called her. Thanks, Sparky. I just wanted to wish you a happy Horniversary, Bob.
Oh, thank you, Darlene. Thank you so much.
And, you know, I started listening, I don't know, my gosh, after Air America went belly up. And I went looking online. I'm like, I have to find another progressive program somewhere. And Head On Radio popped up on my Google search. And I started listening to your programs and never looked back. So, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm not kidding. I'm amazed. I never would have dreamed it would have lasted this long, especially the way it has lasted. But I'm awfully glad it has.
Yeah, and regarding the debate last night, Trump was just throwing any lies that, you know, he could. He was just throwing it out and seeing what stuck. Like, he accused Biden of getting, and it was very weird because he had a very specific number of three, what is it, 3.5 million or from the Russians. And because they had the split screen, you could see Biden, like, shocked. He, like, physically recoiled at that accusation. It's like, what is that? So he kept saying that's not true. So I think that could be an indication that he's projecting.
Yeah, that's probably his number.
A very odd number. He came up with a very specific number. And as for 50 Cent, Tracy, I don't know what to make of him. He had a huge mansion here in Connecticut that was over 51,000 square feet.
It's not a house. That's a town.
I'm sorry?
So that's not a house. That's a town.
It was in Farmington, Connecticut. Yeah. And he sold it at an 84% loss.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't sell it. It was originally priced, I guess, at like over 18 million. And he wound up selling it for a little bit under 3 million, but I think he paid like a little over 4 million for it. It finally sold. I think he purchased it. I think it was in 2000. It took him it took 19 years to sell it. It had its own stripper's pole.
Oh, there you go. Hey, Darlene, why don't you guys use eminent domain to take it away, and then Buddy the Beefalo could live there?
Well, Buddy the Beefalo, yeah, I think Buddy certainly would deserve some pretty posh.
I don't know if he needs a stripper
surrounding.
Yeah,
he probably couldn't do the stripper pole, but seeing that I seem to be Buddy the Beefalo's spokeswoman, just to give you the update, he's still on the lam.
Yeah.
And he won't go into the trailer where they have his food bin. He's very smart. And I guess the concern about tranquilizing him, because they're worried about injuring him when dragging him through the woods to the trailer. So I don't really quite understand that, because I don't see why they couldn't simply tranquilize him when he's there at the feeding station, which is a few feet away from the trailer. I don't understand that. So, but that apparently is where it's at. He's doing great. And, you know, it's only, you know, happy rainbows and horizons for him, because he will be going to that Critters Creek sanctuary to live out the rest of his days, if they can catch him. And so far, they haven't been able to get him. So he's still doing good.
What are you guys talking about?
He is crazy. No. Oh, Lord.
He's Tracy, a beefalo on the beefalo on the lamb, Tracy.
It's a cross between. Okay, he broke loose. He was on his way. Tracy, Buddy was on his way to. He wasn't named Buddy at the time, but he is a beefalo, which I guess is a cross between a buffalo and a bull, right, Bob? I think it is.
Yeah.
And he was on his way to a processing plant. He was going to be ground up in Plymouth, Connecticut. He was going to be ground up in Plymouth, Connecticut, I guess, with a bunch of other with cows and whatever. Well, he broke loose. He got out of whatever it was he was in. He broke free of the processing plant in Plymouth, Connecticut. Which is sort of in the near my area, about 35 minutes away from where I live, and he made a break for it, and he found over 800 acres of reservoir land, Connecticut reservoir land, and he is very aggressive, extremely aggressive, and wound up. He was on the loose and they were trying to get him, and he wound up garnering quite a bit of sympathy because he was smart enough to know that he was going to be ground up for food, and he got loose, and people started doing a fundraising, like a GoFundMe page for him. And they've raised several thousands of dollars. He's a very handsome fellow. And they raised several thousands of dollars that will pay for his transport to Florida to a sanctuary for animals like this. It's called Critters Creek. The problem is that they can't catch him. So this has been going on, I think, since July.
Yeah,
July or August.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and Tracy, and just to, Darlene, just to jump in, you're leaving out a salient fact. Tracy, he's a brother beefalo. He's black.
Oh, so he's a brother. So don't worry, y'all can't catch him.
Well, I didn't want to say he was black. I was thinking that. Thank you for saying that, Bob. He's a beautiful black man. He is just gorgeous, and he's living off the land. But there is a police officer, a Plymouth police officer,
there always
just
is.
Taken such a shine to him. And he's the one that's trying to safely capture him. And he set up a trailer and he puts the food bins out. And he's a white cop. He's a white cop.
So. I have to say, so this is the only time that a white cop is actually so black.
No. This is a Hollywood buddy movie, and he's Buddy the Beefalo anyway. This is a buddy movie. This is, you know, the earnest white cop and the streetwise black beefalo.
And you know, with the white savior complex, because we got the white savior complex right there too.
But he's
poor buddy. God,
he's
damn.
But he's obviously streetwise. You know,
he's very streetwise. I mean, you know, he couldn't have picked. I mean, because I know Plymouth. Plymouth is very built up in certain sections. He picked a really. I mean, this is a very intelligent animal. He protected land to graze in. He's living off the land. He's eating the grain. He's like, he has no incentive to go into that trailer, which is a very small trailer from what I could see.
Isn't it getting cold out your way now, though?
I'm wondering that too. Yeah. I'm thinking could the wind, I mean, I don't know if the, well, we've had 5-degree weather yesterday. We've had 65-degree weather today, but we are yesterday's probably the last day we're going to see weather like that. I don't know how well they do in this kind of weather, but you're right, Scott.
Well, they're half buffalo, Darlene.
Buddy, small. They're trying to bamboozle Buddy, but he's going to outsmart him. He's going to get on Amazon and order him a space heater. And he's going to be all right. Fuck the man.
And I read, the question that I have is why don't they?
Because I thought they would be in tranquilizing him. I thought that their main concern would be that they would OD him and potentially kill him. But I guess what they're concerned about is that they're afraid they'll injure him, dragging him through the woods to the trailer.
No, Darlene, he's a black beefalo. They'll claim that he OD'd himself. Variety did report
what they need to do is import a couple cowboys with two cattle dogs, and they'll have them in that trailer in no time.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Variety reported that Eddie Murphy has signed to voice Buddy in the upcoming Hollywood action flick.
That would be great, because I think it's going to start making national news as soon as, the longer he is able to stay free. The trailer looks very small and flimsy to me, and I don't know anything about transporting animals like that, but I would think he would be
It's a stock trailer.
I don't know what that means.
The back is, everything is lower to the ground, and it's like a big horse trailer.
Well, it didn't look that big to me. It looked like a small, maybe they changed the trailer, because the last photo I saw, it was very small, and I don't know.
Yeah, it could be pulled behind, pulled behind a pickup truck.
Yeah.
It
probably has two swinging doors on, maybe a little ramp that comes out, but that's it.
Well, he's
but remember, he's half buffalo, though, Darlene. He's not going to have a problem with a Connecticut winter.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. And Darlene,
that's what I'm wondering.
Do you think, Darlene, if I were Buddy, I sure as hell wouldn't want to be put on a truck and trucked down to DeSanto's maggot land.
He's a brother.
Fuck that.
So, in California, somewhere, New York, whatever. But you gonna see
a not Florida. Yeah.
Well, see,
Looks too small for him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if an animal like that would do better in a much larger trailer, or
that gives him room to move.
No.
You want him confined so that he can't build up a head of steam.
Yeah. Right. I think they're very worried about him. They're very worried about him getting injured.
But in the end, the white cop will be redeemed. And as Dave and the Blind pointed out, Buddy will be the magical beefalo.
So Nick Nolte is going to play the sidekick, Bob?
I'd say Nick Nolte playing the white cop. You know, he's old, he's grizzled, he's toward the end of his career, and he's just not going to put up with any shit from this black beefalo. and they somehow become friends.
Yeah.
I gotta get Dan Fisher on the blower. He's gonna want to be in on this script treatment.
Yes.
Yeah, but the twist at the end of the movie is Nick Nolte ends up on the trailer and goes to Florida.
And he gets shot in the ass with the tranquilizer.
But this is a great conversation, and again, congratulations, Bob. I don't know how many years it's been.
Fifteen this way, and somewhere around 18 altogether.
And I think you have I think you have the best program in terms of progressive radio, and the fact that you're able to predict what you do, and it always comes true. You're like anywhere from a year to, a few months ahead of the curve is amazing.
It was just so weird. Like I said, last night for some reason or another, we started talking about dreams. And then today, yeah. and then today, I open up my usual suspect sources, and there's the story of Clay Higgins' wife having a dream where the federal goons had invaded their house and taken away their unauthorized food.
And I'm happy to hear Tracy, and I hope Tracy's doing great with her studies. We're in the home stretch.
Hey, darling, baby.
Hey there, honey. How you doing? Love you, Tracy.
Go ahead, baby. I'm sorry.
I'm depressed. I'm just like, we're in the home stretch with this election, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse.
Darlene, we are all waiting for the other shoe to drop. We are all waiting for the other shoe to drop, and we can't help it.
Exactly, and we see the psychological, you know, Trump is disintegrating. He's disintegrating in front of us. I mean, he's just getting more and more desperate.
He's melting.
A bridge from California to Hawaii.
That's an old trope, though, because, God, don't I remember something from like 2016? There was some goofball fake thing about, what was it? Bicycles or windmills in Hawaii?
Yes, something.
You remember that?
How many times did he say windmills yesterday, Bob? I was just
I was so proud. I was so
turbines.
Hey.
Yes. Turbines, see, that's the thing. I was so proud.
That? He didn't say it though.
But
he doesn't know they're called turbines.
Right. But the thing is, Sparky, that's a mark of the influence you have had in this little community, because everybody now knows that when he says windmills, everybody says, yes. No, Sparky taught me they're wind turbines.
And I'm going to post something. I'm going to put it right now in the chat. Unfortunately, it's on the side. But this, apparently, this is what they are slapping. I don't know who they are, but they're slapping these stickers onto Biden-Harris signs here in Connecticut. It looks like a tomato, but it's basically supposed to be an aborted fetus, and they're slapping it onto the Biden-Harris signs in our area. Yeah, so it's loading right now. It's rotated on my it's properly positioned on my computer, but it looks like it needs to be rotated. It's on its side. But it's these are the kind of crazy, creepy things that they're doing. And I have a Biden-Harris sign on my front lawn, and I'm checking my lawn every day to see if there's any shenanigans. And I can only hope that my horrible Ring cameras, that are not even a year old, will catch anyone coming up onto my property to try to deface the signs. Oh, there it is. It came up good. So it kind of
looks like when I make stewed tomatoes. You're right.
Yeah, basically.
It looks like a tomato.
Hey Darlene, yeah. Did you hear about in Poland? I think that did they outright outlaw abortion?
Got very close to it.
Very close
to it. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I just heard it from a friend last night. I don't know the details in specifics.
Wow.
Ugly shit. Yeah.
Wow. It's ugly, just like in you know, and I did see that video clip of Giuliani.
I took one for the team last night. I watched the whole Borat movie.
Did you, Sparky? Nice.
And that, that scene there, oh my gosh.
That ought to ruin Rudy's career. That's it. He should be done.
Yeah, him going. Wait, I'm going. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to do it again.
You're right, Tracy.
I'm going to do it again. Yeah.
Come on.
Him going rooting around in his trousers.
you can see her grabbing the tape, man.
In the movie, she's pulling up the shirt and pulling the battery pack or the pack for the
from the microphone.
Yeah, the transceiver.
Pulls it around, and she has that in her hands when he sticks his hands down his pants.
But again, he was aware that she was 15, right? Like a student reporter or something, or no?
No. He busts in and it says.
No.
She was not.
She was a fake.
I mean, she's much
fake,
older.
Fake news reporter for a right-wing news site.
But the gag is that Borat runs in hot pink lace lingerie and hollers, "Stop, stop, she's 15, she's too old for you."
She's too old for you? And he said, oh, yeah. And
oh, my God.
It was hilarious.
But the photos I've seen, he looks almost like a laid-out corpse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of gross.
If it had been Mitch McConnell with the way his hand and face look, it would have looked like a corpse.
You know, Barbara sent me that on Twitter last night, and part of there was just some, my spidey sense tingled a little bit with that, wondering if it was, you know, but I've looked at it, and it doesn't look like a manipulated photo.
No, I don't think it is.
He's got problems. I suspect, and I saw it once, and then I couldn't find it again. 3-6 months ago or something like that, he fell down and broke his shoulder. And then this one, apparently he fell down like last weekend. And the faces, you know, he did a face plant somewhere and probably put his hand down to brace himself. And like a lot of old people, they're really easy to bruise. And I think he just took a tumble somewhere and got banged up. And that's what we're seeing.
Jesus.
I don't think it's Photoshopped at all, because there's too many different pictures. One of them, he's bending down to pick up a face mask. The other one, he's sitting.
Yeah, that one, Roger, at a desk. That one grossed Agnes right the hell out. Wait, he's dropped his face mask on the ground and he's going to pick it up and put it on. Ooh!
He came out yesterday and said, "Don't worry, there's nothing wrong with me about those pictures."
Yeah, but there's a Band-Aid on the one hand, and the other hand's all, we got a Band-Aid around, and it's all dark colored skin.
Yeah, well, that dark colored skin is a bruise. Yeah, it's about 2 to 3 days old.
Other Band-Aid looks like it might have been where he put a, you know, an IV in her hand.
Does anyone know if he still has his law license?
Oh, wait a minute.
If they yarded him off to the hospital or something, they may have put an IV in him.
Courtesy of Stockton Larry, or maybe he was kung flu fighting with Elaine Chao.
Oh.
That was terrible. Hey, y'all, I gotta wrap up and get out of here, but thanks for all the good anniversary wishes. Onward into the bold and brave future. We'll just try to,
before you go, can I ask you a real quick question,
my
friend?
You can ask me anything you want. It's a regular joint.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Monday, when they go to confirm, I think it's Monday, should the Dems sit it out or show up and just hope that you're going to pick off two more of her thugs?
I think they have to show up on the odd chance that maybe one of them will have second or third thoughts. They've got to, you know, you got to pick off enough to invalidate the tiebreaker of Mike Pencilneck Geek.
Right. And I just wanted your take on that. Yeah. You know, to make a point or, you know.
Schumer called him into a locked door session earlier today. Are there any hints of anything that what went on inside that locked door? No reporters, no cameras, no recordings session that Schumer forced him into?
I haven't seen anything. I mean, I saw mention of it, but I haven't seen anything as to the content. So apparently they're playing it close to the vest, which is good, A, good, and B, surprising.
Thanks, Bob.
And I just don't see, I just don't see how, with Lindsey Graham's behavior, relationships with certain Democrats on the, you know, in the Judiciary Committee can be maintained. Dianne Feinstein hugging him, and I know he's good friends with Klobuchar. I just don't understand how he can get away with this avarice and still maintain his relationships with these individuals on the Democratic side, because apparently
here's the
Democrats value the relationships with him.
Well, here's the trick. Here's the trick. I'll explain. And it's the same thing. And it's the same thing that was the case with Harry Reid. In both cases, the Democratic caucus likes them because they are not big on playing the role of enforcer. You could cross Harry Reid, and you can cross Chuck Schumer, and it won't cost you anything. On the other hand, you cross Mitch McConnell at your own damn peril. Everything up to and maybe including a horse's head in your bed. He is from Kentucky, after all. So that's why, you know, that's why they like it, because he's not authoritarian. He's not one to. He doesn't say, you know, listen, you know, no committee assignment. You know, you don't get that plum committee assignment if you don't do my bidding. At least that's what I've been told on the down low in D.C.
In terms of like the likes of a Feinstein and a Klobuchar, or in particular a Feinstein, she's not going to enforce it within the Judiciary Committee, and Schumer is not going to do that.
Right, Schumer's not going to crack the whip over her, and so everybody's happy about that.
Well, he claims he's had a serious long talk with her, though, Bob.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Well, you know. I know that the National Abortion Rights Action League said, you know, enough of this bullshit. She's got to be replaced on Judiciary, period. Because, and it's hard to disagree, and I mean, I understand the whole idea of getting along, but this is not that Senate. Those days are gone. That's the horses are out of the barn, and the barn's in ashes on the ground, and the ashes aren't even hot anymore. That
and
shit's over.
Disagree with you about that whole incident with Feinstein and the children.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that, darling.
Beg her. I disagree with you. I think Feinstein is the one that handled that poorly.
Oh, no, I think she handled it poorly, but I think they both handled it poorly.
I don't know if I don't agree. They were kids, and
they were led by adults. Okay. I mean,
I saw one adult there.
Yeah, well, there are more adults behind them. Okay. She
could have handled it.
She could have handled it monumentally better. She could have used it as a civics lesson. And she could have said, well, come on, kids, if you're serious about this, come with me. I know where the guy who actually matters in all this is. You're talking to the wrong person. Let's go see Mitch.
And this is where I think Dianne Feinstein has been in there far too long. I'm not talking about term limits. Far too long, far too much power.
Yeah.
She's 80, whatever. She needs to go.
Well, the Democratic Party wanted her out, but she came in second in the primaries or something, and then the Republicans helped get her elected because of the junk.
We had a chance to get rid of her, but...
Well, I'm hoping, Biden gets elected, Kamala Harris becomes vice president, and it may be just a little too white of me, but damn, wouldn't I love to see Katie Porter in the Senate.
Oh, yeah. I think that might very well happen.
Absolutely.
And I like your idea about Sheldon Whitehouse taking over for the Judiciary. With what he did during the hearings, I think.
Well, the problem, though, with being majority leader is that is an administrative job. If you've got issues that you really, really, really freaking care about, you don't, you know, you can advance the agenda and so forth, but, you know, to get in there and really, really set the world on fire, you spend a lot more time counting votes and talking to your whips than you do working actual bills. I mean, that for instance, you know, one of the things we learned early on is that no matter how much she believes in the AIC Act, that Nancy Pelosi will never sign on as a co-sponsor. Because it's a thing you don't do. So, you know.
Well, I mean, certainly Lindsey Graham had the power to throw the rules out, which he did, because there was supposed to be at least two Democrats.
Right,
present,
and that's just a complete philosophical difference. That's the complete philosophical dichotomy in how Republicans approach the use of power and how Democrats do.
Right, and this is where we're at the impasse. So Democrats either have to get down into the mud with them or continue to take the high road and get
squashed,
destroyed.
Well, in fact, Lindsey
could find out that sometimes you throw the rules out and sometimes the voters throw you out.
Well, that would be lovely, Scott. But just to give you
There's
an idea,
we know.
But just to give you an idea, I got a clip from Lindsey here. Let's see, where did.
Sometimes it bothers me, Scott. Sometimes they throw them out.
Dadgummit. Just a second.
Well, the voters need to get rid of the water that made the mud so the Democrats don't have to wallow in it.
Well, I had a clip somewhere, and I can't find it now. But it was of Lindsey reporting out Amy Toney's parrot and saying, you know, if y'all don't like this, you need to just talk to Chuck Schumer. If it was up to me, every justice would need 60 votes. As if it was the Democrats who eliminated the filibuster on Supreme Court justices. That's just a damn lie. That was straight up Mitch McConnell. Now, Harry Reid got rid of the filibuster for lower court justices, and he did it because Mitch McConnell was insistent on only having Barack Obama be 3/5 of a president.
And it was even less than 3/5 because Barack Obama got almost none of his appellate court judges.
Right. That's why Amy Coney Barrett wound up on the Seventh Circuit. But the thing is, go ahead, darling.
Don't forget. The other Democrats, Blumenthal, who's my senator, Feinstein, none of them, Klobuchar, I didn't see anything where any of those Democratic senators on that committee called out Lindsey Graham for fundraising there on Capitol Hill premises, which is not only unethical, but I think a crime. He's so desperate that C-SPAN caught it. He started fundraising for his campaign. None of them said a goddamn thing about it. To me, that's a slam dunk. None of them called him out. Just saying.
The one thing, Darlene, I think maybe they're afraid that if the shoe were on the other foot, that you know what I mean?
But it shouldn't be on the other
foot. Find themselves fundraising when they're not supposed to. You know what I mean?
Or Chris, you know what? You raise a good point. Or they themselves are guilty of having done that.
Yeah.
And that was the one thing that I'm thinking. Did they do this at some point or another?
Yeah, it's one of those where you don't, you know, yeah, don't do something that you might be busted for. It's a political version of the golden rule. But anyway, we got to get out of here.
Getting the upper hand.
For anybody who wants to, the conversation will continue on Sparky's back porch. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Thanks so much to all of you who keep the program going. Now beginning our 16th year under this format. Thanks so very much to our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to our a la carte contributors so very much. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose and have over the decade and a half. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you, Sparky, in the front porch conversation group, moderating these many years. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Brand new Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, just a scant 41 minutes and change away from now if you're listening live. HeadOn.live is the best place to listen. to the Molloy Program Live. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 from the very beginning of this show, Gina, it's all for you. And thanks above all to my beloved wife, Agnes, who has put up with ever so much for me over the course of these years to keep this program going, and has done so much in her own right to keep this program going. Thank you, my love. Thank you, my angel. Please stay safe. The third wave is apparently going to be the worst wave until we get to the fourth one, and hopefully we don't do that. Stay safe. Stay home if you can. If you have to be out and about, please limit your time out. Wear your mask, wear your gloves, wash your hands, carry hand sanitizer with you, and use it liberally. See what I did there? Liberally. Maintain your social distance. Make it more like 15 or 20 feet instead of just 6 or 7 or 8. Because our buddy Paul from Parts Unknown is right in all of this. And for God's sakes, if you see some weeping, wailing woman coming towards you, hooting and barking and groaning and crying about how they're taking away the unauthorized food, avoid her like the plague, because she is. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend. Happy Horniversary to y'all, too. Bye now. Back Monday. More in Monday.